on and roughshod. You said it, and they are. But that's why we have the no-spin zone, all right? That's the anecdote to the unfair ideologues on both the left and the right. And that's why we're here. All right, go to BillO'Reilly.com and vote on that CBS boycott deal, okay? We'll see you tomorrow.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by GM OnStar. The effort to recall Arapahoe County Clerk Tracy Baker is moving forward. County Assessor Ed Bozier announced this morning more than 34,000 signatures were validated, meaning a recall election will likely be held in February. Bozier said the entire recall process is a strain on the county.
We're in county government trying to provide services to the citizens. This isn't part of what we do. So I have great respect for elected officials in this county, including Tracy, but the voters have that right, and they've asked for it, and we're going to provide it.
Petitioners gathered more than 42,000 signatures in total, but 7,000 were invalidated for various reasons. Baker says that he'll challenge the petitions and the assessor's findings. He has 15 days to challenge, at which time Baker may appeal any decision to the appellate courts. Petition organizer John Brackney says they'll conduct their own survey of the signatures and believes any challenge by Baker will actually increase the number of valid signatures found on the petition. Denver police are on the hunt for a man in connection with a homicide. Spokesman Sonny Jackson said last night about 7:30, officers responded to a shooting at 1939 Emerson. There they found 18-year-old Bryant White suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. He was transported to Denver Health, where he later died from his injuries. An investigation revealed he had been in an argument with 23-year-old Terrell McLam, who reportedly pulled a gun and shot White. McLam then fled the scene. He sought for investigation of murder in the first degree. While crews battle California's wildfires, fire danger exists in Colorado as well. Boulder Fire Manager Justin Dombrowski says residents need to be prepared.
We have a lot of thick, dry vegetation on the ground. Even the trees are extremely dry right now. We're getting the Chinook winds, these warm, strong, downsloping winds, which are the same exact winds as the Santa Anas. It's just on the Front Range of Colorado.
Dombrowski says through tomorrow, those Chinook winds could kick up to 60 miles an hour. He reminds you to be careful with cigarettes, campfires, anything incendiary, and if you live in a fire-prone area, have an evacuation plan in place. Wildfires are taking a devastating toll on life and property in Southern California. One firefighter there says the fires are overwhelming.
There's no question right now it's out of control. We're taking little pieces of it and trying to, it's like a puzzle. We put together a piece here and there and try and link them together at the end of the day.
In total, the fires raging from Simi Valley south to the California-Mexico border have killed at least 14 people, charred over a half million acres, and have destroyed or damaged more than 1,500 homes and structures. The California National Guard has been called up to help battle the wildfires that are likely to be the state's costliest to date. President Bush says the White House can reach a proper accord with the independent commission investigating the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
We want to work with Chairman Kaine and Vice Chairman Hamilton, and I believe we can reach a proper accord to protect the integrity of the daily brief process and at the same time allow them a chance to take a look and see what was in the daily briefs that they would like to see.
Panel members of that independent commission say they're not getting everything they need from the White House. Bush told a news conference that it's important for the president to protect national security, especially when it involves classified information contained in his daily brief. White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez has been working with the commission to resolve the dispute. Bush originally opposed creation of the independent panel, but relented in the wake of pressure from Congress and 9/11 victims' families. The post-war death toll continues to grow in Iraq. Army officials say a rocket-propelled grenade has killed one U.S. soldier, wounded six others in Baghdad. All the victims are from the Army's 1st Armored Division. They were attacked while destroying makeshift bombs in the Iraqi capital. The U.S. Senate has easily confirmed Utah Governor Mike Leavitt as the new administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. The vote was 88-8. Utah Republican Orrin Hatch praised Leavitt.
The record is clear that Michael Leavitt is a champion of the environment. and that he is widely recognized as one of our nation's top public managers.
The 52-year-old Leavitt replaces Christy Todd Whitman, the former New Jersey governor who resigned her EPA post in June. Meanwhile, some Democrats call the Bush administration's environmental record abysmal. Federal Reserve policymakers meeting behind closed doors on Capitol Hill today to consider their strategy on interest rates. It's widely expected they'll keep the overnight lending rate at 1%. That's the lowest rate in 45 years. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche are at home tonight against the Calgary Flames. Before tonight's game, the Avs will honor former goalie Patrick Waugh by retiring his number. When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family the safety and security you deserve. Just push a button and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar, always there, always ready. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
If you haven't heard the big news about dieting, listen closely. The experts are now saying that low-carb diet plans do work. But if the thought of eating nothing but meat sounds scary to you, continue to listen closely, because the next 30 seconds could change your life. Introducing UltraCarb. UltraCarb is the original carb-blocking, fat-burning supplement guaranteed to help you lose up to 20 pounds in the next month without exhausting workouts or life-changing diets. With UltraCarb, you can continue to eat the foods you love, pasta, pizza, and bread, and still lose weight. After blocking the carb, UltraCarb works with your body's natural fat-burning mechanism to rid your body of unwanted pounds. Imagine looking in the mirror a month from now and seeing the thinner, happier you. And because UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work, you have nothing to lose except unwanted pounds. Call now to find out how you can receive a one-month supply free with your order.
Call now, 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. Lose unwanted pounds 100% safe and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the new Metabolife Ultra, putting the finishing touches on a truck that lost its axle southbound I-25 at 8th Avenue. Also an accident reported northbound I-25 to Colorado. Watch for that. And also one more for you, eastbound Hampton to northbound I-25. Are you on a diet? Try the new Metabolife Ultra with an appetite suppressant and formulated for energy. New Metabolife Ultra is available everywhere you shop. Metabolife, number one in weight loss. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Isolated rain showers during the morning, then the clouds decrease later on in the day, 65, 44 and clear tonight. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, windy, warmer, 78. And we go from summer-like to winter-like temperature. Thursday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain and snow, much colder, 45. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 55 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we have a lot of things that we need to catch up on today. So, let's get started. Let me give you the numbers, 303-382-1150. Excuse me. 303, gee, I hope I'm not, I didn't get my flu shot yet. 303-382-1150 is the number. Let's get going here. Howard Dean is right now in town. He is at the Oxford Hotel. He is part of a fundraiser. I guess he's going to be speaking, and you get to meet him, but you gotta give him a lot of bucks to meet up with him. And I think he was also or is about to be in Boulder. Wesley Clark is coming to the University of Denver on Friday, October the 31st. There's going to be a special reception with Wesley Clark, and that's going to start at about 2:45. But they want you to give him $100 to attend the reception. So that is going to be on this coming Friday, October the 31st, a special reception with Wesley Clark at the University of Denver, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So you ought to check into that and see. I'll give you, there's an information phone number, and that number is 303-437-2935. There's also a free public forum that's going to happen for Wesley Clark, and so find out about that. There's the phone number, 303-437-2935. 2935 is the number. Jesse Jackson Jr. is throwing his support to Howard Dean. Jesse Jackson Jr. He is a representative in Congress, and he said that he would soon endorse Howard Dean for the Democratic presidential nomination. He told this to a mostly black audience on the south side of Chicago that Dr. Dean had the best chance to be the president of the United States. Now, what I haven't seen, and we've been looking for it, are the numbers. Dean's numbers keep going up, but I want to know what they are vis-a-vis Wesley Clark's, and so far we haven't been able to find that. But the polls show that Dean is surging ahead. He's way ahead of John Kerry. He is... Dean received their support. Now, this is according to the Boston Globe. Dean received the support of 37% of those questioned in New Hampshire, while Kerry had the backing of 24%. A month ago, Dean had a 12-point advantage in the state, which holds its primary on January 27th. So he's been going up, up, up. Jesse Jackson Jr. throwing his support to Howard Dean. And the support for Jesse Jackson has been coveted by a lot of presidential candidate contenders here, the support of Jesse Jackson Jr., because, you know, that's a big black voting bloc, I'm guessing. Maybe I'm just jumping to a racial stereotype here, but that's what it sounds like. And if the son is endorsing Howard Dean, I'm wondering if the father is very far behind. So that going on there. We had solar flares last week on Friday. Well, right now, severe solar activity, one of the most powerful solar flares in years. A remarkable X-17 category explosion erupted from giant sunspot 486 this morning. And as a result, a strong solar radiation storm is in progress. So if you're in a lousy mood today, or things that you expected to happen aren't happening, or, you know, blame it on the solar flare. We were blaming Dobbs' phone call to the show on Friday on the solar flares, because we were talking about a subject that I am still getting emails on. Some of you are so mad at me, you hate me, you love me, you think it's the best show I ever did, you think it's the worst show I ever did, but clearly it tapped a nerve. And that is what I said on Friday. I was quoting a friend of mine who's pretty politically well-connected, smart, astute, has been watching the political game for many years, professionally and otherwise. And he says, you know what, I think, to be perfectly honest, he said, I think that Republicans are dumber than Democrats, that conservatives are not as bright as liberals or progressives. So, you know, I'm tossing this out as we'll just have some fun. It's Friday. And I'm telling you, the phones caught fire. It was three solid hours of phone lines stacked and packed. And the more I thought about it, the more actually I thought he really had a point. But what is also emerging is that many of you had no sense of humor about it. What started out as sort of a puckish free-for-all turned into letters to my bosses. My bosses are insulted, some of them, but not all of them. But it doesn't matter, because we talk about whatever we talk about here. This is a forum. This is a free-fall forum where we discuss. This is a free speech zone right here, 303-382-1150, 3 hours of Enid Live, noon to 3 on KNRC, and it is a free thought, free speech zone. We can talk about anything we want to talk about here, and if you get insulted, well, I'm sorry. You have a lot of choices as to how you're going to respond to what I say, and feeling insulted is only one of them. You can feel a lot of things. You can laugh. You can feel derision if you want. You can say, right, spot on, Enid, you go, girl. You could say a lot of things. But a lot of you really got bent out of shape, and a lot of you thought it was fabulous. So, 303-382-1150. I'm trying to think, what does this say about Denver? I have said in the past that I think that you're very literal here, that there is sort of an irony deficiency on some of the callers, particularly the ones who sidle over from the Walmart across the way. I think they're going to be running in droves. To tell you the truth, KFI in Los Angeles has dumped Rush because of the low level of fill-ins, in favor of covering, well, really, a really more timely story for them, which is the California fires, the Southern California fires, which is a lot fiery than what you're getting at the Walmart across the way. And guess what? It's tape delayed, as they say in the business. It means it's old. That show already aired. You can't even call it. You can listen over there if you want to for your amusement, but then come over here and have real, real, real talk radio. I was happy to read Penny Parker's column this morning, and here is a picture of Diane Reeves, and she is a Denver girl. She lives here. She's a two-time Grammy Award-winning singer, jazz. She's wonderful. And I had her on my show, one of the shows I did from the live from the Denver Press Club, and it was the show that focused on music, and she came over to the Press Club and joined us, and she was just wonderful and gave me the name of a terrific singing teacher because I want to learn how to be a singer. Oh, I know, you're laughing, ha, ha, ha. But my mom was a really good singer, and I want to be a singer, too. Maybe I'll just come here and sing the show the next time, okay? And then you really can throw tomatoes at your radio. Anyhow, one of my favorite architects is Frank Gehry, G-E-H-R-Y. If you've ever seen pictures of the Rock Museum in Seattle or the Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao, Spain, where you have that incredible titanium skin, it just looks like a fantasy. It doesn't even look like they could possibly have constructed it. That is the work of Frank Gehry. And after a lot of years and a lot of budget problems and a lot of fights and a lot of everything else, the Walt Disney Concert Hall finally opened in Los Angeles, and guess who sang the national anthem? The opening of the, and people came from New York, they came from all over, it was the creme de la creme de la creme, Diane Reeves, our own Diane Reeves, sang the national anthem Thursday at the opening of the Walt Disney Concert Hall in Los Angeles. And she told me that among all the other things that she does, and she has a concert schedule that takes her all over the world, she books the talent for, I think she told me, the Hollywood Bowl or something like that. So here she is singing the national anthem at the opening of the Walt Disney Concert Hall in Los Angeles that Frank Gehry designed. And it looks terrific from the pictures. Looks really, really wonderful. Oh, here it is. I do have a poll here. After a surge of support in the wake of official entrance into the race for president, retired General Wesley Clark has slipped from being the sole front runner to being tied with Howard Dean. So those two are tied. Those two together are going to be a 1-2 punch ticket. And it's going to be interesting to see who is the prez, who's the number one guy, and who's the vice prez, the number two guy. And I don't know if either one of them, with their egos, could be the number two guy. Maybe we'll have a co-presidency. According to a CNN USA Today Gallup poll, three other candidates are close behind. Richard Gephardt, who's a congressman, Senators Joe Lieberman and John Kerry. President George W. Bush continues to appear somewhat vulnerable, earning a 53% job approval rating, but leading a generic Democratic candidate by only 3 percentage points. And remember, this is usually a plus or minus of about 4 percentage points on these polls. So he's ahead. Really, it's a dead heat. When they pit him against, quote, a generic Democratic candidate, that means they don't know yet who, fill in the blank. Any Democratic candidate, he's at 53%. He's only 3 percentage points above any generic candidate. So with a plus or minus of 3 or 4% that these polls usually carry of accuracy, that means they're in pretty much a dead heat. So the news is Wesley Clark and Howard Dean are tied. Wesley Clark made a big splash and was ahead of Howard Dean. He's now tied with Howard Dean. Not too far behind are Congressman Richard Gephardt, Senators Joe Lieberman and John Kerry. President Bush's approval rating makes him look somewhat vulnerable. He's at 53% and leads any generic Democratic candidate by only 3 percentage points among registered voters. So but that 3 percentage points mean, you know, with a plus or minus of 3 or 4%, it means that pretty much he's even Steven. Here's a guy who's been on the job. He's got the lead. He's been here for almost 4 years, 3 years, I guess. And he is in a dead heat with any Democratic candidate. What does that tell you about George W. Bush? 303-382-1150. Vulnerable and getting more vulnerable. And as we continue, I'm going to point out some of his other vulnerabilities, and particularly with this 9/11 commission and 45 people were lost yesterday in Baghdad because of terrorist activity. Wow. It's not looking good for the Bush administration in that area, is it? Here is a story that appeared in today's Denver Post. You have a suicidal woman who wanted the cops to do the suicide for her. In other words, her intent was to take a gun, point it at a cop, and hope that he would shoot her dead. Not only did that not happen, not only did she take that handgun and aim it at the cop, she actually fired the cop. Had she been Paul Childs and only held the gun up, she'd have been toast. But she is a white woman. She holds the gun up. She threatens a cop with a gun, not a candlestick, not a knife. She's not a 16-year-old. She shot the gun, and he still did not shoot her. He used a taser, and it saved her life. He used a stun gun. He stunned her with electric shock, but he saved her life. He did not shoot her dead. She's white. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. She's a woman. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. There were tasers around in that Paul Child case in July. But they didn't use them on Paul Child. They just shot him dead. Now, I want to ask you what you make of this and how it happened that you have a police officer. This is a Denver police officer. The woman is about 48. Narrowly avoided becoming the ninth person killed by Denver police this year. Through a combination of police patience, improved equipment, and better training, she's still alive. She pointed the gun initially because she wanted the cops to kill her and commit suicide, a kind of suicide by proxy. She not only pointed the gun, which would have gotten her killed if she were a black teenager, I think, she actually shot it. He, the officer, was patient with her. He used a taser. She's still alive. Would you like to comment? 303-382-1150. Why do you think she's still alive? Is it that she's white? Is it that she's a woman? Is it that she's a 48-year-old woman? Is it that people are so condescending toward women they didn't think she could shoot straight anyhow? How is it that Paul Childs is not alive, a 15-year-old with developmental disabilities, holding a knife but not pointing it at the officer and far enough away so that it's not an issue? There are a bunch of officers. They all have their guns. They all have weapons. And they have tasers somewhere, either in the car or somewhere. They shoot Paul Child's dad, but this woman who is inviting the police to shoot her dad gets the taser treatment instead. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
LendingTree.com presents today's home mortgage tip. If you're over 62, you may qualify for a reverse mortgage, which allows seniors to tap into home equity they've built up without moving or taking on extra debt. A reverse mortgage makes payments to you. You pay the money back plus interest and other charges when you sell or move out of your home. With a reverse mortgage, you can never owe more than your home's value at the time the loan is repaid. This message was brought to you by LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win.
LendingTree.com presents How to Make Your Big Debt Small Debt. 1. Get all your debts together.
Okay, got them. Stacks piling.
2. Consolidate your debts into one low monthly payment with a debt consolidation loan at LendingTree.com, where banks compete and you choose the loan that's right for you. To consolidate your debt, call 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com.
Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
Do you know the difference between customizing an opening to fit a door and customizing a door to fit an opening? Call Colorado Door Connection at 303-425-3366. They'll explain. From structural integrity to financial sense, this is a question you cannot afford to overlook when considering the doors in your home. Since a door is the first impression made to your home or room, and you know the saying, you only get one chance to make a first impression, Colorado Door Connection will help you make the best impression possible through excellent service and quality products. Call now and receive a free handle set valued at $160 with a purchase of $600 or more. Colorado Door Connection. Visit our showroom at 9710 West 50th Avenue, just off I-70 and Kipling, or call 303-425-3366. Don't put your home's doors on the back burner any longer. The holidays and holiday guests are fast approaching, so visit Colorado Door Connection today.
Let's play a game. Tonight, as you lie in bed listening to KNRCRadio.com, which streams our station 24 hours a day to homes worldwide, lay in the middle of the bed. Doesn't that feel good? You can stretch your arms and legs in all directions and achieve perfect balance. Now you've got both sides of talk radio coming at you through your ears and both sides of the bed holding you in exquisite limbo. Welcome to our world. Hear Both Sides Talk on KNRCRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1224 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC. We're talking about a number of things. First of all, Howard Dean is in town right now. He's at the Oxford Hotel just a few blocks down the pike, just a few blocks down the street, because we are, as you know, in glorious Lodo. And here's the latest poll. The poll shows that Clark and Dean are pretty much neck and neck, and any Democratic candidate is pretty much neck and neck with George W. Bush. He leads by a couple of percentage points, three, I guess. Wesley Clark's going to be in town on Friday, so everybody's making the trek to Denver. We are also talking about a woman in Denver who was distraught. She wanted the police to commit suicide by proxy. In other words, she was hoping that they would kill her if she took a handgun. And if she had been black, she wouldn't have even needed a handgun. All she would have needed would have been a candlestick, or she would have needed to hold a knife down or something. But she had a gun, and not only did she point the gun at the police officer, she actually fired the gun. Did he fire back? No, he didn't. He hit her with a taser, and for that, he is to be commended. He saved her life, even if that's something she didn't want to do on her own. But he didn't kill her. And why didn't he? She fired a gun at him. He probably would have been well within his... The bar is so low that he would have been well within the self-defense area to shoot back and shoot to kill. Why didn't he do it? Is it that she's a woman? Is it that she's white? Is it that she's 48? Is it that she put out a vibe? I am telling you, if you're a black kid, there's a different, you frighten cops, I think. I'm wondering. Let me ask that question. If you're a teenager from a fancy section of town, if you're a teenager in Country Club or in Cherry Hills or something, you think the cop is going to shoot you dead? If you're off your meds and holding up a candlestick, 303-382-1150. Give me a scenario here. This cop is smart, and he exhibited patience. Allegedly improved equipment and better training. I don't know if there has been additional training since the Paul Child incident. The police chief, Jerry Whitman, said every incident is different, and he declined to discuss the similarities and differences between the Child shooting and the non-lethal arrest. This woman is the woman is white. The officer, in this case, is Hispanic. Childs, Paul Childs, of course, was black, and he was shot by Officer James Turney, who was half white and half Asian. So we're applauding the police effort in not simply shooting this woman and killing her, and instead using a taser. But I wonder how it was that the same thing didn't happen to Paul Childs. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. What's your theory about that? How does it happen that you have a suicidal woman who doesn't only aim her gun at the cop, she actually fires at him. He's Hispanic. She's white. He uses a taser, which you have to commend him for. She wanted suicide by proxy. How? To what extent does race play a role here? 303-382-1150. Dan, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Well, gee, Enid, I'm surprised. Have you become the mouthpiece for Alverda Simmons?
What's your point, Dan, you have one?
She, there's definitely a different scenario here, but I expected him to be saying what you're saying.
What was the point that you called to make?
Well, I mean, there was certainly not Officer Turney present.
Right.
Who had shot a kid like
my question is, How is it that she not only pointed a gun at a police officer, she actually shot at him, and she walks away tasered, and Paul Childs didn't? Why do you think that happened?
Well, I think the attorney thing has got him to where Whitman's laid down the law, says, look, we can't handle any more of this. And, you know, unless it's really, really necessary, don't shoot. But a lot of other cops probably would have shot in that scenario.
Well, that's what she apparently wanted to have happen. That's what's been reported, that she wanted suicide by proxy. All right, Dan, I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. Don from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, what's up, Enid?
I'm fine.
I was reading this story in the paper this morning. I didn't know the, you know, racial identity of the lady until you said it on your show, or the racial identity of the officer. But I think something needs to be said for this, because last week you had another Anglo man who rammed the police car, got out the police car, shot at the police, and the police shot him in the leg and the buttocks. And, you know, out there in Aurora, Denise Michelle Washington, she had a 19-inch candlestick and got shot down five times, twice in the back. And Paul Childs got shot four times. The brother, Acuna, over on the West Denver, got shot six times by the police, supposedly with a pickaxe. And, it, you know, and my question is out there, and when I said this before, everybody's like, oh, Don, you're a racist. Because I said, well, how come the Denver Police Department does not shoot white people or white teenagers? And I have yet to, well, see a case here where they shot somebody white that had a knife, or, I mean, like, this lady had a gun and was shooting at the police.
She actually shot off that gun. So, yeah, right. I mean, it certainly raises a lot of questions here, Don, and and you make a good point. Here's Denise Washington. She's got candlestick, Paul Child, and then the incident of Paul Child. I mean, you had a bunch of cops show up there. Some of them had prior contact with Paul Child.
Even Turney himself,
the night before, he had threatened his former mother-in-law to the point that she had called the police to report him. And that kid was dead just seconds after they all rolled up in the you know, all those cops showed up. So
my question is, I mean, you know, in the suburbs or in the white community, I mean, the police don't get calls for, you know, teenagers wielding knives. They don't get calls for, you know, women that are suicidal or didn't take their medication. How come they don't shoot these white women?
All right, let's ask that question, Don, and I thank you for doing it. 303-382-1150. Jake, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon. I've listened to you for a while, and I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I know Nash Gourlay, the officer who used the taser through my neighborhood association here in North Denver, and he is an excellent, excellent police officer. In fact, when I read it, it didn't surprise me at all that he would take and use his head, because he's quite a smart man. He's a very smart man. And we're a very diverse neighborhood in Northwest Denver. I don't think we look at color as much as other parts of town. It just comes with North Denver. I think anyone who's lived up here realizes that's the mix. And I have to tell you, District 1 really does a good job. I don't know if you're familiar, but we lost our commander here with the reappointment of Jerry Whitman. And I think a lot of that is a tribute to our past commander, Commander Gallagher, who really worked his district.
All right, now wait a minute, Jake. What you're talking about the officer here. His name is Nash. How do you pronounce his last name?
Gourlay.
Gourlay. He's an Hispanic, according to the Post.
Yes.
And
yes.
And the woman who tried, how old is he, would you say?
Nash is probably in his early 40s.
So he's not a kid, and she was 48, and he used the taser. He knocked her out with about 50,000 watts of electricity, and she 50,000 volt electrical shock, knocked her to the floor. Officers kicked in the door, pulled the gun from her hand, and she was taken to Denver Health Medical Center, and she will be taken to jail when she's released. But this is terrific police work.
Yes, it is. That's what I'm saying, and we have had, believe it or not, District 1 has had wonderful police work, community policing. It wasn't just a phrase up here. It really was part of their mission out here, and has been historically. like I say, under this relieved Captain Gallagher. So we do see this in Northwest Denver, I have to tell you. I mean, I'm in my 50s, and it was hard for me to get on the good side of the police just growing up in the era that I did. But I have to tell you, I'm a strong supporter of District 1 police up here.
Jake, I thank you for calling in and telling us about Officer, what is it, Gurule?
Gurule.
Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. But it's still, the question is, here you have an extraordinary police officer who doesn't shoot first and ask questions later, who actually was at risk. She points a gun at him. You don't know what someone's going to do when they're pointing a gun at you. You don't know, is it loaded? Is it not loaded? Well, there was no question. She actually fired, and he tasered her. Now, maybe she was small, and he knew that he could, and every situation, you know, that he could handle it. And every situation puts out its own vibe. But when you add race to whatever is unknown and may appear to be potentially dangerous, suddenly you have altered the equation majorly. And cops get scared, these young cops get scared, and they shoot first, they ask questions later, and race is the elephant in the room that is never discussed, except sort of tangentially. 303-382-1150. This cop who did such a good job with this woman might actually get himself into a little trouble, because what he does is he shows up the contrast between what happens when you're dealing with somebody who's Caucasian and when you're dealing with somebody who is not. I'm Enid Goldstein. You may want to comment. 303-382-1150. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 57 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Sweet Tomatoes. The effort to recall Arapahoe County Clerk Tracy Baker has taken another step forward. County Assessor Ed Bozier says there were enough valid signatures to force a recall election. Baker says he'll challenge the petitions and the assessor's findings. Denver police are hunting a suspect in a shooting death last night. 23-year-old Terrell McLam is one for first-degree murder for the death of 18-year-old Brian White following an argument. Shalmir Pesh has been formally charged in connection with an October 15th road rage incident. She's accused of smashing the window of a family's car after allegedly hitting the car from behind with her vehicle, claiming the driver had cut her off on I-70 near Colorado Boulevard. Wildfires are laying waste to parts of Southern California already. At least 14 people have been killed as the deadly blazes rage out of control from the California-Mexico border as far north as the Simi Valley. The California National Guard has been called in to help battle the blazes, which have already consumed well over 1,000 homes. Police have released a sketch of two men suspected of purposefully setting two of the wildfires. President Bush is blaming Saddam Hussein loyalists as well as foreigners for the recent surge in violence in post-war Iraq. Meanwhile, Army officials say a rocket-propelled grenade attack has killed another U.S. soldier and wounded six others in Baghdad. Don't expect any changes one way or the other when it comes to federal interest rates. The Federal Reserve Board is meeting to discuss interest rates today, but economists expect them to remain at their current 45-year lows following the meeting. In sports, tonight at the Pepsi Center, the Colorado Avalanche will honor former goalie Patrick Waugh by retiring his number. Following the ceremony, the Avs take on the Calgary Flames. New at Sweet Tomatoes this week, freshly tossed Indian summer spinach salad and warm, fresh-from-the-oven spiced pumpkin muffins with tart cranberries. Sweet Tomatoes, create, indulge, enjoy. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:37.
Do you feel like you're on display in your own home? Hi, this is Martin Faith, owner of Scottish Stained Glass. The problem with glass entryways and bathroom windows is that they offer no privacy. People on the outside can see right in. By using leaded glass instead of curtains or blinds, you add the privacy and keep the light. Scottish Stained Glass designers will come to your home with a briefcase filled with glass samples and photographs to help you create custom designs to match the architectural style and decor of your home. You may already have seen our leaded glass at the Parade of Homes. Find out why more and more homeowners are looking to make a beautiful custom statement with leaded glass. For more information and a free in-home estimate, call 303-766-3811. Leaded glass side lights are surprisingly affordable with prices starting at $150, including installation. At Scottish Stained Glass, 303-766-3811. 303-766-3811.
KNRC News Time is 12:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Albertsons, and we're cleaning up an accident eastbound Hampton to I-25, as well as one on Bryant from 6th Avenue. Watch out for another accident in the mousetrap northbound I-25 to I-70. Don't miss the savings at Albertsons. Buy one, get one free sale with boneless chuck steaks or roast perfect for dinner. Plus much more. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Up to 64 for the high this afternoon under a variably cloudy sky. For tonight, partly cloudy, 44, and should be partly cloudy and windy on Wednesday. Southwest winds 20 to 30 miles an hour in the afternoon, 78. So a warm day Wednesday, much colder on Thursday. A few rain or snow showers possible. Yes, I said snow. High temperatures in the mid-40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 57 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Oh, Larry, what a wonderful spot for our picnic.
Isn't it? The weather's just right.
Did someone say picnic? Hey, you're stepping on the goat cheese. Oops, so sorry, but I heard someone say picnic. And as the anniversary fairy for the Denver Center Theater Company, I must respond to emergency calls for tickets to picnic. So are you going?
Going? We're having the picnic now.
Mmm, yummy sandwiches. But I meant the play picnic.
We're just trying to enjoy.
Oh, wine.
Did you want something?
Yes. I want you to picture a small town in Kansas. A single mom and her two teenage daughters get ready for the big Labor Day picnic, and then a hunky drifter blows into town, and the sexual tension ignites. But if you'd rather just eat goat cheese...
Oh, no, we'll go see picnic.
My work here is done.
Our 25th season is our best yet. Come celebrate at the Denver Center Theater Company with tickets to Picnic, opening October 16th. Call 303-893-4100.
KNRC Market Watch.
Moments ago, the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee announced its decision on short-term interest rates. We go live to Market Watch correspondent John Wardock at the Treasury Department.
Andrew, the Fed has left rates unchanged. It has also kept its risk statement the same for the most part. Andrew?
Well, John, any new nuggets from the Fed statement for traders to digest?
One interesting nugget. This is virtually the same statement as September, except for six words. The labor market appears to be stabilizing. That's what the Fed said today. Last time around, the Fed expressed concerns about what it called a weakening job market, Andrew.
Market Watch correspondent John Wardock live at the U.S. Treasury Department. On Wall Street, markets rising to new highs of the day just after the announcement, but they're scaling back now. Right now, the Dow is up 55 points. The S&P 500 is gaining 7. The NASDAQ is up 21 points. Big board volume, 1 billion shares. Once again, the Fed leaves interest rates unchanged and cites a strengthening labor market. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1242 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Howard Dean's in town at this very moment at the Oxford Hotel, eating and greeting and meeting. And if you have enough dough, you could go over there too, I guess. And Wesley Clark's coming to town on Friday, and they are tied in the approval ratings in the polls right now. And it, apparently, whoever becomes a Democratic candidate, and the it's blank, but whoever generic Democratic candidate is pretty much tied with George W. Bush. He's 3 percentage points ahead of any generic Democratic candidate. So essentially, it's a tie because those polls are plus or minus 3 or 4% generally. What do you think about that? 303-382-1150. Are your dreams coming true? And finally, you have this story here of a Denver police officer who, instead of shooting first and asking questions later, he's confronted by a distraught woman who aims a gun at him, and not only aims a gun, but shoots at him. He stuns her with a taser, shocks her with 50,000 volts of electricity, after which she's hauled off to Denver Medical, or Denver Health, and she'll be hauled off to the pokey after that. But he did not shoot her dead. And maybe when she comes out of her depression or whatever her suicidal funk is, she will be very glad that she encountered this police officer and not somebody like James Turney, who, when confronted with a kid that he had dealt with previously, shot that kid dead. The kid had a knife. Not a gun, a knife. And there were other police officers present. The kid was 15, 16 years old. They could have overpowered that child. Instead, Turney shot him dead. Now, I hope that there's a federal investigation. The difference here is here's a woman. She was distraught. She was white. She was 48. So those were factors. The officer here in question is Hispanic. But when you enter race into the mix, suddenly you've got a whole different situation. And you have a much more volatile situation. And what it does is it sparks the officer's fear. And that has to be addressed at the Denver Police Department. More training has to happen. The fear that dealing with racially different people inspires in some police officers has to come out on the table. And I don't know if it does. And I would have liked to have seen Mayor Hickenlooper in the wake of the Paul Childs, no criminal charges against Officer Turney. I would have liked to have seen Hickenlooper stand up there and demand better police training. And he didn't do it. He didn't do anything. 303-382-1150. He said something very vanilla, and that was the end of that. I would have liked to have seen Jerry Whitman say something about we're going to institute new techniques, and he didn't. He didn't say anything. 303 that I recall hearing along those lines. 303-382-1150. And then you have a case of a man, a 20-year-old man, who was burglarizing an apartment. He pries open a tackle box in this apartment that he's burglarizing, and what does he find inside? He finds nude photos of young girls, including his little sister. I can't believe this. The guy that he's burglarized was a registered sex offender, now facing a possible life sentence after being charged with the rape of a child under the age of 13 and illegal use of a minor in nudity-oriented material. But anyway, the man, apparently, whose apartment he burglarized was 51 years old. The 20-year-old who burglarized the apartment said he broke in once he saw the apartment tenant, the sex offender, leave. And then he said he became enraged when he saw his 4-year-old sister's picture among the numerous Polaroid photos of nude or partially nude young girls inside the tackle box. God, what a set of coincidences. Isn't that a depressing story? 303-382-1150. Doubt over the Diana letters. Since I covered her wedding to Charles in London and also her funeral, I've been intrigued with the story of these new letters coming out. Nicholas Davies, who's written a lot about Diana and the royal family, believes that British intelligence was involved in her death, and he has some evidence for it. But Paul Burrell, the butler, is being pressured to reveal his information behind the book he has written, saying that Diana believed that she would be that she would die in an auto accident arranged by intelligence services. He's now publicly admitted that he did not have copies of the correspondence that he said he had, and that he was allegedly working from memory. So his comments now cast serious doubts over many of the claims he makes in his new book. Well, you've got the Diana business going here, so who's going to contradict? I mean, who's there now to say this was true or it wasn't true? He's the butler. And the butler did it. And if the butler wants to make it up and make a few zillion dollars pushing this book about Diana, who's there to tell him no? And finally, here's Michael Jackson, who has doing some sort of a benefit. He's launching a worldwide internet download of his charity single, What More Can I Give? So for $2 a shot, Jackson fans are going to be able to hear this record. It was made 2 years ago, but it was never released. It features Celine Dion, Mariah Carey, members of NSYNC, the Backstreet Boys, and others. But what the fans and 24 participating artists probably don't know is that proceeds from the single download are going in part to Scientology. Jackson has designated the HELP organization, which uses study techniques developed by Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard, as one of the beneficiaries of his largesse. Watch out for Scientology. That is all I can tell you. If you even talk about it, if you write about it, they come after you, they sue you, they are, this is something that calls itself a religion that the IRS would not let itself be taxed, or it wouldn't let its let Scientology be a tax-exempt religion until the Scientologists, because they broke into the IRS offices and all kinds of stuff. Scientologists went after certain IRS commissioners. They had them followed. They did all kinds of stuff. And finally, the IRS relented. But this was founded by a, you know, L. Ron Hubbard, who wrote science fiction, who always used to joke about, if you really want to make a lot of money, found a religion. And that's what you've got here. You may wish to comment if you've had any experience with Scientology, 303-382-1150, but with practitioners like Lisa Marie Presley and her mother and folks like that, I don't think we're talking about a real intellectual organization. Mike on SL, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Mike.
Yeah, you were talking about the police and suppressing the Paul Childs with a knife. And I just thought I'd mention that I was involved in an incident in Colorado Springs. There were two men actually fighting on the sidewalk, one with a broken bottle, the other one with a whole bunch of karate moves. And it was, you know, they were ordered to break up, asked them to move aside, and they wouldn't. Actually turned on me, and I hit them with mace, okay? And they were both bigger than me. One guy's about 6'8", whatever. And, you know, it broke it up completely. They're both totally disabled. And, you know, to think that the police, you know, taking on a person with a knife couldn't use nonviolent forces is just amazing. I just want to share that, you know, with people.
I think it's amazing to all of us, and it's certainly amazing after the fact. But when you had all those cops pulling up, some of whom had prior contact with Paul Childs, and knew that he had developmental disabilities, and that he was shot so quickly after they arrived, I think within a matter of 90-some seconds, that was it. They just shot him. And here you've got a trigger-happy police officer who was making threats to his mother-in-law just the night before. So it paints a picture of somebody definitely so edgy, and whatever he said to her, she was so troubled by it and unnerved by it that she called the police department to complain about the former son-in-law.
Right. You're talking about this woman, the disturbed woman who shot at the police officer. I mean, what tremendous
restraint
of mind it takes for this guy, you know, to not return fire in that situation. I'm just amazed.
That's absolutely right. It took amazing restraint on his part. There must have been some sixth sense that he had that he was going to be okay here. And what he did is he tasered her. And I guess you can only hope that she comes out of what has to be a suicidal depression, and maybe she can be healed, but not before she's going to do some pokey time.
Yeah, you're making a very interesting point, though. You know, suicide by cop has become a fairly popular mechanism here. And there was actually a case in Colorado Springs, which I thought was equally deplorable, of a man with a knife, basically suicidal. He wanted them to shoot him. And they did.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
You know what? One wag described love as the following, most forms of love as the following. Finding out what you want and then deliberately withholding it. So here was this woman who wanted the cop to shoot her dead. And he said, oh, no, screw you. I'm not shooting you dead. I'll taser you instead. No, I'm just kidding. But in case you have an irony deficiency, you might take it the wrong way. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150, KNRC, noon to 3 on KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNIC. Sarah Brightman.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Spend an evening with music's most mesmerizing voice. And to the world of faraway lands and forbidden places. Sunday, March 7th, live at Magnus Arena at the Ritchie Center, located on the grounds of the University of Denver campus. Rocky Mountain PBS presents Sarah Brightman. Tickets on sale this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Available at all Ticketmaster locations, including Foley's, Angelo's, CDs, and more. Select Rite Aid's, Albums on the Hill, and Christie Sports. To chart by phone, call 303-830-TIXS or get tickets at cc.com. Sarah Brightman's Harem Tour, produced by CC Entertainment.
Thank you for welcoming me here.
Hogan, your software rep here. So, how much software would you like to buy? So, how much?
Yes?
Bob, Jim here.
Oh, Jim, hi.
I have Mr. Hogan on the line. He has to be transferred to you.
Tired of pushy software vendors? Check out FlexSelect Licensing from Computer Associates. With FlexSelect, you get licensing on your terms, not ours. To find out more, go to ca.com/FlexSelect.
KNRC Community Commitment.
Net Results Junior Tennis is an after-school program that teaches kids tennis to help them improve academic performance and increase self-esteem. They are currently looking for volunteers, tutors, and tennis coaches for schools located in Montbello, Park Hill, and 39th and Steele. The after-school program is twice weekly on Mondays and Wednesdays. Coaches and literacy teachers will receive a small payment. If you are interested in helping Net Results, go to netresultsonline.net.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 Key Bank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the three-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 Key Bank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Dominic Brascia.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:55 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by David Korn, who writes for The Nation, and he's got a brand new book out called The Lies of George W. Bush. We're also going to be joined by NPR's Anne Garrels. She has written a book called Naked in Baghdad. She has reported from some really dangerous hot spots, and Baghdad was one of them, and her friends were very concerned that she might not make it out alive, but she did. She's written about it. Thursday, Nigel Hamilton, who is a biographer, an English biographer of John F. Kennedy, has written a book about Bill Clinton. It's called An American Journey, Great Expectations, a very controversial book because it's filled with a lot of gossip. Next week, we're going to be joined by Peter Shelton, who's written about the 10th Mountain Division, survivors of that, and those are people trained for World War II, and people came back from the war, the people who founded resorts like Vail and Aspen. And Deepak Chopra will be joining us later in November, actually in the beginning of November. Ty Pennington from the Learning Channel's hit show Trading Spaces is going to be joining us. So we have lots of guests lined up and more as we go along. These are just the ones that we know about right now. We're talking about this extraordinary police officer who, in the face of a woman daring him to shoot her dead because she wanted suicide committed, but not by her very own self. She wanted it by proxy. She wanted the police to do it. She aims a gun at this police officer. And not only does she aim it, she shoots it at him. He shows remarkable restraint, incredible presence of mind. Somehow he manages to taser her instead. Hits her with 50,000 volts of electricity, knocks her to the ground. She's hauled off to Denver Health or Denver Medical Health. And after she recovers, she's going to be hauled off to the Pokey. But this is the way to do it. This is the result of whatever the situation was, whatever the vibes were, the result of what that police officer, his whole life and his training and whatever he knew about human nature, encountering this one woman. She may one day, if she recovers from her clinical or suicidal depression that one presumes she has, she may one day be very grateful that he didn't take the bait and she was allowed to live and maybe she'll be able to contribute in some way. But this was not the chance extended to Paul Childs, a 15-year-old suffering from disabilities, developmentally disabled, recently had been hospitalized, kind of fuzzy because of whatever the meds. He'd had some seizures and whatever his meds were and becoming increasingly restless, probably because he's a teenager and probably because of his condition and maybe all of that made a lethal stew. Now picking up a knife, following his mother around the house and not dropping it when the police asked him to. And I'm imagining that there's a certain amount of confusion there for him. Maybe he just didn't grok it when he was asked to drop that knife. But the fact that he was a black teenager, I think was his death sentence. I think that was a huge part of it. Nobody wants to talk about it. I'm not trying to incite anything here other than the awareness that more training has to happen. And even though the police officer who shot Paul Childs, James Turney, has so far not been charged with anything, if he gets a desk job at whatever they, at a police officer's salary, I don't think that that's justice either. They can't let him go back to doing what he was doing. They just can't do it. I don't see how they could. But unless police officers get more training, I think that the I think Jerry Whitman ought to address it directly, and I thought that the mayor missed an opportunity to address it directly. He just came off sounding very vanilla and very white bread about it, and along the lines of, I feel your pain, but not saying anything that the occasion would have called for that could have helped the community to heal. Talked about, let's get some training, let this not be a death in vain, let cops be trained for exactly these kinds of situations and how you take on issues of race. The elephant in the room that nobody wants to, at least not official, our official institutions are addressing as directly as I think they ought to. Two more hours of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC. In the next hour, I want to explore with you the idea of what it means to support our troops. Does it mean you want to give them a discount on their apartment rental? Does it mean that you want to do something kind for them directly? What does it exactly mean? I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 59 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Diamond Shamrock Corner Stores. Embattled Arapahoe County Clerk Tracy Baker is one step closer to being out of a job. This morning, Arapahoe County Assessor Ed Bozier announced that enough valid signatures were collected in the effort to recall Baker. Petitioners had gathered more than 42,000 signatures, but 7,000 of those were invalidated for a variety of reasons. Baker is planning to challenge the petitions and the findings of the assessor. He's got 15 days to mount that challenge. Bozier says he believes any appeals and protests will move ahead quickly and will not jeopardize a February recall election.
Typically, courts act on an expedited docket on election issues because they know election dates are based on that.
Baker has been accused of mismanaging county funds, creating a hostile workplace, and carrying on an inappropriate relationship with his top assistant, Lisa Sale. A proposal that would guarantee confidentiality for sexual assault victims at the Air Force Academy was rejected yesterday by Air Force Secretary James Roach. He and other top officials in Washington, D.C. discussed the plan by video conference with officials at the Academy. Roach wants decisions about confidentiality left with psychotherapists, according to a source familiar with the discussion. Victim advocates have said that confidential reporting encourages women to come forward, but previous Air Force investigations have found that confidentiality was a barrier to prosecuting suspects. In June, General Counsel Mary Walker recommended abolishing confidentiality and having victims report to investigators and commanders as they do in the Air Force. As the wildfires continue to rage in Southern California, Colorado residents are being warned that fire danger in our state remains high. Boulder Fire Manager Justin Dombrowski says with Chinook winds expected to hit up to 60 miles an hour through tomorrow, Front Range fire danger is high.
All it takes is somebody with a cigarette that they throw out without paying attention, a campfire that gets out of control. Really, any little ignition source could turn into a major problem for us.
Dombrowski says if you live in a fire-prone area, you need to have an evacuation plan in place. The death toll stands at 14, meanwhile, in Southern California, where out-of-control wildfires have now scorched well over a half million acres. Fire official Andy Menchek says the revised numbers are terrible.
As of this morning, the fire is 206,000-plus acres. The structure loss count, destroyed count, has gone up. There's 881 single-family dwellings. These are primary residences that have been destroyed. 166 outbuildings and 148 vehicles.
More than 1,500 homes and other structures have been damaged or destroyed in a stretch of smoldering land spanning from the California-Mexico border all the way north to Simi Valley and east to San Bernardino County. Fire officials expect the hot, dry Santa Ana winds to start dying down, but they caution the danger is far from over. President Bush is singling out Saddam Hussein's deposed Ba'athist Party and foreign terrorists for a wave of violence that has rocked post-war Iraq.
The foreign terrorists are trying to create conditions of fear and retreat because they fear a free and peaceful state in the midst of a part of the world where terror has found recruits, that freedom is exactly what terrorists fear the most.
As for the foreign terrorists, Bush said, quote, they fear a free and peaceful state in the midst of a part of the world where terror has found recruits. Speaking at a news conference at the White House today, Bush added that freedom is what terrorists fear. The news conference came one day after four suicide bombings in Baghdad killed 35 people. Meanwhile, Army officials say a rocket-propelled grenade attack has killed one U.S. soldier and wounded six others in Baghdad. All the victims were from the Army's 1st Armored Division. They were attacked while destroying makeshift bombs in the Iraqi capital. Interest rates will remain steady for the time being in a widely expected move. The Federal Open Market Committee says it would leave the benchmark federal funds rate at 1%, the lowest it's been in 45 years. The FOMC stated that rates will likely stay down for a considerable period because of concerns that already low inflation could move even lower. Since early 2001, the Federal Reserve has cut interest rates 13 times in efforts to boost the ailing economy. In sports, number 33 will be retired tonight at the Pepsi Center by the Colorado Avalanche. That's Patrick Waugh's number, and the Avs will honor their former goalie by retiring his number. Following the ceremony, the Avs take on the Calgary Flames. Zip into your neighborhood Diamond Shamrock Corner Store and pick up Coke or Sprite 12-packs for just $3.29 or get two for $5.99. Diamond Shamrock, drive in, zip out. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, violinist Mark O'Connor and Nadia Salerno-Sonnenberg will perform with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra in O'Connor's Double Violin Concerto and more. That's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 31st, November 1st, and November 2nd.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by XL Energy. Cleaning up an accident on eastbound 270 right at I-70. Another accident in the cleanup stages southbound I-25 at Spear. And some construction for you at I-70 at C-470. If you have questions about why the cost of natural gas is rising, questions about energy conservation ideas, go to xlenergy.com today for answers. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Variable cloud cover for the rest of the afternoon, the high 64. Tonight, partly cloudy, 44. Wednesday, partly cloudy, windy, southwest winds 20 to 30 miles an hour in the afternoon. Should be warmer up to 78, but much colder on Thursday. Mostly cloudy, a few rain or snow showers possible with highs in the middle 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 59 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, noon to 3 on KNRC. Memorize that, boys and girls and buckaroos. And hie yourselves over from that Walmart across the way if you've been lounge lizarding over there, because that stuff is old when Rush was doing it, and it's even older when these sort of the B team is filling in for them, substitute teachers, the B minus, the C minus team. So come over here. Anything you hear over there, bring it over here and we'll really talk about it, because you can't be heard over there. That show was over before they even air it. So if you were to call in, if you're lucky enough to get through, it's impossible. The show is over, so it's dead. Couple of things. First of all, did you see in today's Denver Post front page story, the zoo is doing aromatherapy on its pets, on the animals, on the orangutan, up to twice a day. A 300-pound orangutan at the Denver Zoo gets in touch with his more sensual side. A little dab of aromatherapy will do it. They start with frankincense. And then a little bit of eucalyptus, and then a bottle of something called Angelica, which is an oil that that promotes clarity of mind in case an orangutan has a mind. And so they're doing aromatherapy, and I guess it calms the animals down. I was thinking the other day, we need a little aromatherapy around here. Did you ever have the experience of getting into an elevator and you smell somebody's perfume just for a second, and suddenly it transports you back to some other time and place, maybe to childhood, maybe to when you were a little kid, maybe when your teachers wore something that smelled like that, or maybe your mom did when you were little, or something. God, scent has the ability, it's like music, it just has the ability to capture you and transport you to another time. I've had that happen. I don't know why I'm thinking about aromatherapy and the Denver Zoo, but I might have to check myself into the Denver Zoo there to get some TLC. Okay, one of you sent me, and I look at all my email. I apologize. I can't answer it all, but I see it all. So those of you, please don't feel like it's going into some vast hole unread. It's not. I'm looking at it all. I got this from Chris. Chris says, Enid, I've noticed signs on businesses around the Denver area, such as on an apartment complex, big signs stating, "We support our troops." That's all well and good, Chris writes, but I was wondering how they supported the troops. Do they offer discounted rents, waivers of security deposits for service members' families? Well, you know what? The Mustang Ranch, which was a brothel in Nevada, the first one that was legal, they offered free services to returning vets from the Gulf War. They didn't have to pay. That's how they supported the troops. Anyway, Chris wonders, this apartment complex, it says, "We support our troops." Are they offering waivers of security deposits for service members? Are they discounting the rents? Would they discount the weekly apartment rental for families meeting with their loved ones during a brief vacation the military is giving? This apartment complex is quite close to Buckley Air Force Base, so a soldier, airman, sailor, marine could fly in there on a military transport. Do you think maybe you would want to gather names of these businesses and then call them while on the air to ask in what way they are supporting the troops? So here's what I'm thinking is going on in this universe of ours, in this pathetic little universe of ours, which you're going to find out. Mark my words, boys and girls and buckaroos. Remember how Australia was a penal colony? Well, as they find signs of intelligent life in other parts of the universe, they're going to find out that this Earth, our little place in the universe, was just like an Australia compared to all the other more advanced forms of life that are going to somehow emerge, that we're like pets compared to them. I'll bet. Because people do some really dumb things. I marvel at it. But when I think about how we're really the Australia of the universe, or how we're really sort of pet world, then I think, well, it makes sense. Anyway, those businesses that say we support our troops, those apartment complexes that have big signs that say we support our troops, what are they doing concretely other than slapping up the sign or the bumper sticker? I've talked many times about bumper sticker patriotism. Is this another example of it? 303-382-1150. Do you know some businesses that have the sign we support our troops? We'll call them and see what they're doing to support the troops. So if you have some names of businesses that have signs or apartment complexes that have signs, let us know what they are. And if you could provide a phone number, that would even be better. And we'll call them and find out what they're doing to support the troops. Are they sending any of their own kids in there to Baghdad, where there were all those, there's even more terrorism as Ramadan gets underway? I think, what, 45 people killed yesterday in all kinds of terrorist acts? Oh, no. I've got it wrong. 200 are injured in 45 minutes of mayhem. Suicide bombers who drove carloads of explosives into five buildings around the capital, which is Baghdad, on Monday killed at least 34 people and wounded more than 200 in a coordinated assault that spread mayhem across the city and appeared to open a new phase in the guerrilla war against American occupation. So when you say we support our troops, what do you mean? You give them a discount? If you're the Mustang Ranch, you give them free sex. But they're not in business anymore. Probably gave away too much free sex. What do you think? 303-382-1150. The public relations campaign isn't working, according to the Washington Post. That's because Howard Kurtz is writing, there comes a point where you cannot spin reality. In the past 48 hours, suicide blasts have killed dozens of people in Iraq, and Paul Wolfowitz escaped injury in an attack on his hotel. They bombed the floor underneath his, and an American colonel was killed. So Wolfowitz barely got out with his life. 6 months ago, Iraq seemed a large feather in the commander-in-chief's cap. Now, when the Democrats get together to debate, they seem far more impassioned about Iraq and the $87 billion than their bread-and-butter issues of jobs and the economy. American troops are simply not in control of a significant chunk of the country. Have you seen signs around that say, we support our troops? What businesses do you see those on? We're going to call those businesses and find out if they really do support the troops. They give them a discount? They give them something for free? Or do they just put up a sign? 303-382-1150. Maybe put the flag out there, too. A couple of things on your bumper sticker. In other words, it's easy to say it. It's not so easy to do it. So here we have 200 injured in 45 minutes of mayhem in Iraq. And when you say you're supporting the troops, I want to know what that really means. The Patriot Act, John Ashcroft, our alleged attorney general, a man who laughingly refers to himself as the attorney general. I don't know what to refer to him as. I used to refer to him as the most dangerous man in America, but there's so many people vying for that title, I hardly know where to begin. Here it, oh, and by the way, the finger of who leaked Joseph Wilson's wife's name to columnist Bob Novak, starting to look like it came out of Dick Cheney's office. At least those are some of the preliminary reports. Dick Cheney's track record of advice is so poor that if you do the opposite of what he says, you will have a greater chance of success than if he does what you tell him, than if you do what he suggests. And if you really want to be serious about finding out who the leaker was in the Joseph Wilson incident, there's a very easy way to do this. You wait for the reporters to leak. You know, the reporters who were called by this leaker could start leaking that name to other people, and then we would find out, without a huge investigation, we would find out exactly who the leaker was. But signs are pointing to Dick Cheney's office, 303-382-1150, at least in preliminary reports. Anyway, John Ashcroft has gone on the road to defend the Patriot Act. He's gone all over the place. And he refused, rather like the whole Bush program, not to talk to Bigfoot large media reporters, but only small town television reporters. John Ashcroft, the same, on his tour, on his All-Star Rock tour to promote the Patriot Act. What he did was to talk only to television reporters. He refused to talk to print reporters. Now, you know, we had a contest. What would be a good name, a real name, a more accurate name for the Patriot Act? And some of you came up with some really good ones. The Freedom Fried Act, the Patronizing Act, the Nil of Rights Act. Well, he more than met his match when he sent somebody out to tout the Patriot Act in front of a group of the most anti-Patriot Act people in America, ferociously anti-Patriot Act. Who would that group be? Librarians. These people have been out of their minds against the Patriot Act. They are advising libraries to destroy records. They believe very fervently in the right to intellectual privacy. And the Wall Street Journal is reporting, the headline is, "The Patriot Act riles an unlikely group, the nation's librarians. Fears about terrorism clash with principles of privacy as online searches surge." And you've got a game FBI agent trying to explain patiently to these librarians why the Patriot Act is so great and how they can go into libraries and stuff. And boy, the librarians are not having any of it. And good for them. Thank goodness that our front lines are manned by our librarians, some of them silver-haired, some of them diminutive in size, but ferocious in their passions. 303-382-1150. This is why we love our librarians, and we love our libraries mostly, except at the Denver Public Library. Got to really get it better than they have it. And they could start by having more books in their libraries, but we'll talk about that later. Van calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, Enid. Thanks for the show.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to give you a call. You know, you commented on the vice president in Cheney's office, and you know how it's kind of the plain thing is looking like it might have come from him.
Well, there are allegations along those lines, but even if it didn't, I would have to say that Dick Cheney and his office are ground zero for stupidity and incompetence. And if you listen to the Friday show, you vote for George W. Bush, I think it's an instant indication that you are IQ deficient.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, one of the things, too, is it's like, you know, you look at all of the hell that everybody put Clinton through, you know, for his terms. And I think, you know, one guy actually got convicted of anything, and that was for, I think the guy Espy lied about giving money to his mistress or something. And then you look at, like, Reagan Bush, and it's like they're so stupid that 30 of them get convicted, you know? So that when they go around doing whatever they're doing, I mean, they're getting...
So you're saying, Van, that the measure of how dumb this administration is and Republicans in general is that they're so dumb they get caught.
Oh, to boot. I mean, not only do they do stupid things, they do it in such a way that they get caught red-handed for it. You know, it's hilarious. But that brought me to what I went, you know, with one of the things, I really like Joshua Marshall's website, Talking Points Memo. And one of the things that he pointed out is the non-denial denial that McClellan gave for Libby and Elliot Abrams out of Cheney's office on the whole plane Wilson thing. And one of the things that it made me think about, just because Elliot Abrams was convicted for Iran-Contra with Reagan Bush.
I didn't hear the precedent. What did you say about Elliot Abrams and Dick Cheney's office?
Well, he was, he's one of the, you know, they've done a non-denial denial for Rove, Libby, and Elliot Abrams.
Oh, that none of them leaked the Valerie Plame story.
Well, no, but the non-denial was that we didn't leak any classified information. Not that they didn't leak the name, but they, you know...
That they didn't... Oh, oh, oh.
It was one of those...
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's on the Talking Points memo.
Okay.
But that made me think that this could be really a precedent-setting thing if it was Elliot Abrams, since he got busted for the Iran-Contra and convicted and then pardoned by Bush 1, you know, talking about presidential pardon. And now he's a player in this whole mess that we got going on here.
Well, he's like that there was a cartoon character in Little Abner called Joe Busbuck. It was all these consonants that you couldn't say, and he always walked around with a black cloud over his head, bringing down hideous karma. So it sounds like Elliot Abrams is of cut of the same cloth.
He might be the first twofer in presidential history.
What's the twofer meaning? What?
Two felony convictions.
Oh, he's just in kindergarten compared to some
of
them.
And then he pardoned twice, too. Could you imagine? The only guy convicted twice and the only guy pardoned
twice. You know what? He's got to have his theme song. You know what his theme song is, and if he was pardoned twice.
No, what is it?
I'm sorry. Sorry. Van, thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein, and I'm not sorry, not one bit. You're listening to Enid Live, the Tuesday, lucky Tuesday edition of On AM 1150 KNRC.
Denver's only independent news and talk radio station, AM 1150 KNRC.
Ever go to the gym and feel like you're competing in a beauty pageant?
Like, oh my God, that outfit is so last year.
Or that you've landed on Planet Meathead, where the necks you see are thicker than your thighs?
Come on, we only have 3,000 more presses to go.
Tired of hearing the grunting just before the weights crash to the floor? Then come to where fitness isn't a competition or a measure of how thick your neck is. Dumbbells Fitness prides itself in attending to the details of a workout and takes care in creating a fun and relaxed atmosphere that makes even the gym phobic feel comfortable. Dumbbells Fitness is the vegetarian of all gyms. They keep their meat in the freezer. Dumbbells Fitness is located on the second floor at the Tabor Center at 17th and Larimer in downtown Denver. Call now, 303-592-7700. That's 303-592-7700. Or log on to dumbbellsfitness.com. Visit us at Dumbbells for your authentic workout.
Stand by for a special announcement.
Go to today or tomorrow's newspaper if you're looking for Chevrolet, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge,
Ford, Lincoln, Mercury, Cadillac, or Hummer.
Use the newspaper as your buyer's guide.
Then bring the newspaper to the MedVed Autoplex in Wheat Ridge or the MedVed Autoplex in Castle Rock.
They will beat the price on any advertised new vehicle,
as long as it can be substantiated and is purchasable.
The advertising dealer doesn't matter. Just bring in your newspaper, and MedVed will beat the price on any advertised new vehicle.
Save your time. Save your money.
Bring in today or tomorrow's newspaper to MedVed, and they will beat the price on any advertised new vehicle. There is no need to drive all over town searching for the best price on a new vehicle.
The MedVed Autoplex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp Castle Rock.
And on I-70 in Wheat Ridge, exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVed Autoplex.
The Institute of International Education brings well-known experts to Denver to share insights about world affairs. Here's what Washington Post writer T.R. Reid had to say about changes going on right now in Europe.
The major goal of the Europeans, the term for this among the political scientists, is the counterweight theory. That is, they are going to be the other superpower. We're a superpower, fine. They're not too happy about it at the moment. But they're going to be the countervailing superpower. And this is a very common view among Europeans. Let me just read to you what I heard a European chief of state say in May of this year. Our unipolar world is inherently unstable. There is a need for a second superpower, and that will be the future role of the European Union. Now, which troublemaking European head of state said this? Tony Blair, our greatest ally in Europe. He's very pro-European, and he sees Europe as this countervailing weight to the United States.
Want to know more? Join us on the web at DenverWorldAffairsCouncil.org.
AM 1150, KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150, KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
125 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm not sorry, not a bit sorry, but you won't be sorry either if you listen on Friday. Guess what we're going to be doing besides our usual fabulous quality? We're doing top. I don't care what you say, you may disagree, and you can. We're in a free speech zone here, so you're free to disagree with me as much as you like. 303-382-1150. But we are doing top-of-the-line talk. I want you to notice that, because there are very few places in this universe that you're going to find top-of-the-line talk, not in a consolidated broadcast environment, particularly a radio environment, particularly with Walmart across the way owning so many stations and dribbling out the same homogenized, stale stuff, the trough that everybody is drinking out of. Well, everybody whose IQ is hovering in single digits, maybe. But we are going to be giving away four pairs of tickets to Sarah Brightman. The tickets go on sale on Saturday. The concert is not until next March, March the 7th, I believe, at the Magnus Arena. But these tickets are $90 a piece, at least. And we're going to give away four pairs of these tickets on the Friday show. So put it down on your calendar. You should be listening every single day, noon to three, on KNRC. But particularly, mark it down for Friday if you want a chance to win a pair of tickets to hear Sarah Brightman at Magnus Arena. She's wonderful. She was married, I think, to Andrew Lloyd Webber, about whom it is said that people dislike him instantly because it saved time. So, all right. I just got this cartoon from one of you. Says, here's Dick Cheney talking to W, and Cheney's saying, you better hope Wesley Clark does not get the nomination, because you, as a military deserter, would have to debate a war hero. And W, his response is, gulp, gulp. This is from Mr. Watson, I think. Thank you, Mr. Watson. We're talking about what it takes to support. What does it mean when you say you support our troops? What does that mean? What are you doing for them? Are you giving them a discount on whatever your product is? Do you give it to them for free? If you have an apartment complex, you're going to waive the security deposit because they're keeping you safe and secure by being in Baghdad? 303-382-1150. We've also been talking about the aromatherapy that is practiced at the Denver Zoo, and I just got this email from Harmony. Harmony says, scents affect the limbic system. Pumpkin arouses men. Wow, I didn't know that. That's why some of them look like happy pumpkins. That's the answer right there. The Patriot Act, which John Ashcroft has taken on the road, is riling an unlikely group, and that is librarians. And another way that librarians have been riled is to require that filters, anti-porn filters, be installed in libraries. Otherwise, libraries won't get federal funding. Never mind that these porn filters are imperfect. They really don't work that well. They screen out a lot of stuff that is not porn, and they allow in a lot of stuff that is porn. But some political candidates, many of whom have been conservative and have been anti-ACLU, find themselves on the side of the ACLU because these porn filters have filtered out their campaign literature and so on. Some libraries, as a result, have decided to forego federal library funds rather than to install these filters that don't actually work all that well. So a group that's protecting us and some of our more basic rights are a group that we really love and cherish, a group that has helped me personally a lot whenever I have research to do, and that is librarians. The Denver Library received yet for another year in a row Best Library Award for a library over 500,000, serving a population of over 500,000. Now think about it. Is the Denver Library really in a class with the Chicago Public Library or the New York Public Library? I don't think so. Or even the San Francisco Library. I don't really think it is. But it's one guy sitting in his little basement somewhere who evaluates how good a library is by how many items the library checks out or how many items circulate. And what's depressing about the Denver Public Library, what's good about it, is that they circulate a lot of brand new periodicals. So you don't have to wait till the thing is a week old. You can walk into Cherry Creek or someplace, and brand new editions of magazines that if you walked into Tattered Cover, you'd be paying $5 or $6 or $7 or $8 or more for a magazine. You can check it out from the library, and you get to keep it for a week. I love that a lot. That's really a good plan. That's good. But the periodical section in the main library is a complete mess. They don't even display everything that they have, so you have no idea what the library subscribes to. And at Cherry Creek, and I noticed this in the main library too, there was an awful lot of space and not too many shelves for books. And at Cherry Creek, it's even worse. They have a whole lot of space up on the second floor and not even tall shelves, short shelves, and not a lot of books. But what they do have that increases the circulation rate of materials is they have a lot of DVDs on the main floor. They have a lot of videos that are circulating. They have all that kind of stuff. Video games. I'm not sure because I don't do that stuff. But I think that's what gives them that number one ranking at the expense of real books. And I find that some of the materials they have in the collection are, it's kind of thin. That's what it strikes me as, 303-382-1150. But what I'm thrilled about is that librarians are the one organized institutional group really standing up to the Patriot Act and to John Ashcroft. President Bush said today that the United States is not ready for a total abortion ban, but he would sign a ban just approved by Congress on what opponents of the procedure called the partial birth abortion. Partial birth is so wrong. It's, you're talking about 20 weeks or so, and the usual gestation period is, what, 40, 44 weeks, something like that? It's completely wrong. It's completely a misnomer and completely pejorative. The real term should be late-term abortion. And it's not like a little human is peeking out there, waving at you, telling you what school it's going to go to. It's not like that at all. But this term, partial birth, makes it sound like you've got a little human being. And by the way, did anybody see Terry, is it Schiavo's husband on Larry King last night? I saw a clip of it today. Boy, does he look like, we shouldn't go by this, but he really looks like an unsavory guy. Larry King asked him a good question. Why don't, he said, if you want to get on with your life and the parents want her to live, why don't you just walk away from it and let them take care of her? Oh, he says, no, I can't because she didn't want to live. He didn't mention the $1 million trust fund that's there for her rehab and that he would inherit. 303-382-1150. Deborah, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, yeah, you were talking about libraries and a lot of space and a lot of things that you're not finding. And just to let you know, I'm a library science student, and it's a second career that I'm working on. And one of the things is that, well, first of all, people think that librarians are just shelving books and answering questions. Shelving books goes to other people, usually librarian aid, and the answering questions, doing research, running reports, weeding out old books that haven't been accessed, determining what has been the most common area of searching or material that's being requested. A lot of libraries are more than just the old Barnes Book Noble type of stores. They've moved into the Blockbusters area because that's what the clients ask for over and over and over again.
Yeah, but can't you do both?
Oh, yeah, I would love to. Love to. You know how much
I mean,
money they get?
It's the clients asking for the Blockbuster materials, but I see it. I see that there's more of a balance that could be maintained. I understand that you're strapped for monies.
Oh, yeah.
And but alienating friends of the library who've raised so much money on behalf of the Denver Library doesn't strike me as the smart way to go.
I think what it was is alienating a few friends of the library.
No, we had the reporter who did the story, and many people were alienated to the point where the relationship between the library and friends is strained, if not non-existent at this point. Very strained. And that was a group, you know, you have a head librarian here who's been called by a lot of people very arrogant. I think he's probably turned a lot of people off. But I have to tell you that as a library user, and I've used libraries in cities all over the country because I love libraries,
mm-hmm.
I walk into the main library and the periodical section is a scandal. And it didn't get better the second time I finally went back. There's not enough display space. The libraries I'm used to, even small town libraries, you walk in, every periodical, which means every magazine that they subscribe to, is out, and the back issues are behind. So you can walk in and visually, you might not, here's what I like about reading a newspaper in hand rather than online. I don't always know what I'm looking for. If you're looking online, you know what to look for, or something may strike you. But when I'm reading a newspaper, my eyeballs wander all over the place, and suddenly I alight somewhere I didn't even know I wanted to be. And that's the way I am with libraries, too. I might have gone in for one periodical, but somehow another one catches my attention. Well, it's never going to catch my attention when it's stuck away somewhere, and I don't even know that the library subscribes to it. And that's what you've got at the Central Library.
I don't know the head librarian there personally, but I did have in some of my classes quite a few of the people who work at the main library, and some of them have stated that that article covered information that they felt was responded to not quite fairly.
And a lot of librarians that we have talked to, Deborah, say that they're afraid to voice anything because of their fear any repercussions from Ashton, the head of the library. So I think there's probably a lot of conversation
here.
That's
very possible. But then go to other libraries in, you know, the area and check them out. But I'm just saying is that they are...
I think for a central library, you've got... That may very well be. Most libraries are. But for a central library in a town the size of Denver, in a city the size of Denver, I think more effort went into the architecture of it and less effort went into the books. And I think that the periodicals are a real scandal and somebody ought to clean them up. And I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150, noon to 3 on KNRC. 1:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 60 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by your greater Denver area Toyota dealers. Arapahoe County Assessor Ed Bozier today announced that enough valid signatures have been gathered to force a recall election for County Clerk Tracy Baker. Bozier says more than 34,000 signatures were validated. Baker has 15 days to challenge, and he says he's planning on challenging the petitions and the assessor's findings. Some University of Colorado football recruits are off the hook for rape charges in connection with a December 2001 off-campus party. In a deposition released today, Boulder County DA Mary Keenan said that before the party, the football recruits were told there would be consensual sex. She says a criminal conviction would be impossible. A 21-year-old woman who says she was raped at the party filed a lawsuit against CU. A report from auditors with the Colorado legislature says that the state has improved its distribution of license plates. The report says the Department of Revenue is working more closely with county clerks and the Department of Corrections, whose prison inmates make those plates. A sketch has been released of two men suspected of purposely starting two of Southern California's devastating wildfires. The out-of-control blazes have now cost 18 people their lives, including two in Mexico that and they have consumed more than 500,000 acres, reduced well over 1,000 homes and other structures to ashes. The California National Guard has been called in to help battle those flames. Foreign fighters and Saddam Hussein loyalists are said to be behind the recent surge in violence in Iraq. That's the word today from President Bush. Despite the death of yet another American soldier in Baghdad today, Bush says his declaration on May 1st that major combat was over in Iraq was not premature. Interest rates will remain steady for the time being. The Federal Open Market Committee has decided to leave the benchmark federal funds rate at 1%. That rate is the lowest it's been in 45 years. In sports, the Calgary Flames come to town to take on the Colorado Avalanche tonight. Before the game starts, the Avs will retire number 33 to honor former Avs goalie Patrick Waugh. Toyota owners win a $10,000 American Express branded gift card, no purchase required. Buy an oil and filter change, battery and brake inspection, plus tire rotation for $35.95 through 10/31. See participating dealers for details. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
To emergency medical technician David Curtis, that's the sound of confidence. Confidence in the sterility of his IV bags to deliver life-saving fluids when packaged in plastic. And that is the sound of mobility. It's David's cardiac monitor, made of lightweight portable plastic. And that's the sound of David and his ambulance crew on their way to save people's lives with help from the plastic in their supplies and equipment. Plastics make it possible. The American Plastics Council.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by John Elway Auto Nation, and really a pretty quiet drive out there right now. All of our earlier accidents are up and out of the way. We do have some construction for you, westbound I-70 at West Colfax, as well as on I-70 at C-470. Watch those two spots. The new 2000 Nissans are at John Elway Nissan South, east of I-25 on Arapahoe, or Elway Nissan North at 104th and Zuni. See the new Nissan Quest, Armada, Maximum, and the hot 350Z. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Variable cloud cover for the rest of the afternoon. The high 64. Tonight, partly cloudy, 44. Wednesday, partly cloudy, windy. Southwest winds 20 to 30 miles an hour in the afternoon. Should be warmer up to 78, but much colder on Thursday. Mostly cloudy. A few rain or snow showers possible with highs in the middle 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 60 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
I see. Market Watch.
Markets have hit new highs for the day after the Federal Reserve kept short-term interest rates unchanged as expected.
MarketWatch.com correspondent John Wardock was at the Treasury Department for today's announcement, says the Fed's statement on the economy showed new optimism.
This is virtually the same statement as September, except for six words. The labor market appears to be stabilizing. That's what the Fed said today. Last time around, the Fed expressed concerns about what it called a weakening job market.
And that news has been well received on Wall Street. Dow Industrials now up 105 points. The NASDAQ is ahead by 33 points. S&P 500 is up 11. Markets also getting a lift on improved consumer confidence, as reported by the Conference Board. The new Transportation Security Administration has hired thousands of people to keep our airports safe. And the TSA's newest hire will conduct background checks on future airport screeners. Corporate security firm Kroll gets the job. Kroll stock is now up a half dollar. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
143 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about all kinds of things, and let me just bring you up to speed. We began by talking about this incident that the Denver Post reported on a woman who tried to commit suicide by having a police officer do it for her. In other words, to provoke him to such an extent that he would shoot her dead. And she did it by aiming a gun at him and actually firing the gun, and he did not. And like the Paul Childs case, he did not shoot her dead. He stunned her with a taser, 50,000 volts of electricity. She was hauled off to Denver Health, and she will be, when she recovers, hauled off to the Pokey. It's a difference between, you know, what was the difference between that and the Paul Childs shooting? Was it that it was race? Was that the difference? We've been talking about that. We have also been talking about what it means to support your troops when you see these big signs all over apartment complexes, buildings. Do they give them a discount? Do they give them stuff for free? Do they waive the security deposit if it's on an apartment building? I mean, what are you doing when you say you support the troops? What concrete thing are you doing when you say you support the troops? Do you even vote on some of these issues that determine the fate of the troops you say you are supporting? 303-382-1150. Or are we just talking about bumper sticker patriotism? We have also been talking about librarians as the frontline defense against the Patriot Act. They have been vocal, and they have been unbowed, uncowed. They are willing to stand up to John Ashcroft and his minions to talk about how they think that the Patriot Act undermines intellectual privacy and so on. And so that led into a discussion of the Denver Public Library. I'm a great library user, and when I talk about what terrible shape the periodical section is in the main library down here, it doesn't even begin to encompass the territory. And even if the library doesn't have a penny, and they can't managed to buy the equipment so that all the periodicals that the library subscribes to are out there, so that when you walk in and you want to browse through it and sit and read, you can't do it. They at least could put up a list. They don't even have a list. And you have to go to the reference librarian on that in the periodical section, and there's encased in plastic a bunch of the titles of the periodicals that they have in the library, and they don't have a Xerox, so you can't take it with you. You can't go back and consider it. They have just the one copy that I'm aware of, or maybe two, I don't know. But they don't have it posted anywhere. So even if they don't have the racks, even if they don't have the money to have the racks so that they display all the many periodicals that they do subscribe to, they could at least have lists that you could take with you. Xeroxed. They don't have that either. So it is really a scandal, and you might want to comment. So for them to get that number one rating is so bogus. It's a nice building, but I suspect a lot more went into the building than went into the collection. And those of you who are friends of the library, you could comment too, because I think many of you have been alienated by this administration. 303-382-1150. And I have to tell you, my jaw dropped when I went to the Cherry Creek branch. Downstairs, all DVDs, a lot of popular books, and they have many copies of them. And that part I like. That's really good. So if it's a hot seller, a lot of people can take it and can check it out at once. But going upstairs where fiction is and so on, hardly any books, a lot of white space, and real low shelves. Not many books up there at all. I was stunned for an area like Cherry Creek. So is it that people don't read in Denver? This is a high per capita book sales. This is a town that supports the tattered cover, two tattered covers, three and four stories, independent bookseller. Amazing. And that's why we get some of the finest authors, authors that don't go to markets much, much larger than Denver. They come here because tattered cover moves books. And they come here to support Joyce Meskis. And there's a big readership in Denver, so I can't believe that the library looks so impoverished to me. A lot of effort going into this postmodern, which I don't like. I love my old Mill Valley Library where there was a big fireplace, and it's new. Redwood decks, you could go out on the decks and read in the summer. The fire would be going in the winter, leather seats, redwood. It's just beautiful library. Gorgeous. And I don't see that here in Denver. I see kind of this very postmodern, not very warm kind of interiors. Because I don't know, because the design was more important than what went into the design. That's my take on it. 303-382-1150. Parents are facing pitfalls. A lot of you are big on vouchers. I like to think those of you who don't know any better, because I think it's another way of running away from the school system. But here you've got private schools lining up to take part in Colorado's experimental school voucher program, and a number of pitfalls have already surfaced for parents. One of them is, if you go to some of these Christian schools and you happen to be a gay kid, they'll throw you out. A lot of them, it's cause for expulsion. And I don't think 1 cent of tax dollars ought to go to those schools, frankly. This is why you want to have a distinction between church and state. But there is one school here, one person who lining up to be able to collect your vouchers. And 4 years ago, the state put her daycare license on probation for repeated infractions of child care violations. She finally gave up the daycare license. But violations included leaving children unsupervised, failing to keep employee records, telling a child to hit another as discipline, and so on. So these are the possibilities for these private schools that you think are going to be so much better than the public school. And if you're concerned with the quality of your child's public school education, you don't know how to read and write, you should be sitting there working with your child to help your child get the best education possible. You should be supervising the homework. If you don't think the teacher is giving enough homework or the right kind of homework, you can augment what the child is learning. The child is always going to learn more at home, negatively or positively, than the child is going to learn from school. You become this little psychic sponge, and you sponge up all the things that are spoken and unspoken from your parents. It's just what happens. 303-382-1150. So here we have vouchers, an estimated 3,300 vouchers are going to be available to eligible students. Some of these schools, of the 442 applications filed by with the 11 participating school districts, it really turns out that the available slots come down to, 3,400 or so. These are of the 442 applications filed by October 1. 160 slots were listed, but when duplicate applications are discounted, the number of available slots drops down. Of the 124 private schools that applied statewide, 72% of them have a religious affiliation. Of the schools with a religious affiliation, 47% are Catholic schools, 36% are Christian schools, in name or philosophy, and 12% are Lutheran schools. So I don't exactly know what this slots. 16,000 slots drop down to about 3,400 slots. So there aren't that many slots available. Some of these sound like bogus enterprises trying to pretend that they are actual schools. Some of these schools, you really don't know what you're going to get when you enroll your child. I think stay with the public schools and make them better. The parents need to get involved. You have to get involved in your child's education. And to do the voucher is a way to run away from your responsibilities as a parent, to run away from your responsibilities as a citizen, to be sure that the educational system is functioning at a high level. We're in mediocre times here. We're in a time where if you're smart, if you went to a good school, you're called an elitist. It's a pejorative, it's a put down. Because I'm telling you, if the thesis of my friend is right, and that if you're a conservative and a Republican, you have a lower IQ, you're not as bright as Democrats, then the fact that the Republicans control everything and more people are voting Republican must mean that we have gotten dumber as a country. And certainly the education system, I think, reflects it. Mustafa, hi, you're live with Enid. Hello, are you there? Mustafa, are you there? Not there. Okay. 303-382-1150. We're talking about school vouchers. We are talking about some of these schools that are just concocting themselves hoping to cash in on the voucher program. And you have no idea the quality of the teaching or the quality of the instruction. Some of them are too new to have much of a track record. And some of the people who are lining up to be eligible for school vouchers are people who have been in trouble with the state on a variety of charges through the years. So the question is are vouchers going to be the answer to your prayers? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC, noon to 3 on KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
This week on the Emmy Award-winning Colorado State of Mind, we'll look at the release of those videotapes showing the Columbine killers playing with their guns, and we'll look at the partial birth abortion ban. Last week, Columbine investigators released a videotape showing Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold shooting guns in the woods. Some say the tape foreshadows the boys' deadly intentions for the 1999 Columbine school shootings, but nowhere on the tape do the boys mention their plans. So, what purpose does releasing the video serve? Shock value or something more important? What do you think? Join me, Greg Dobbs, and a panel of Coloradans Friday night at 8:30 for Colorado State of Mind on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Plus, should legislators make medical decisions? We'll debate the congressional ban on partial birth abortions, and you can debate it as well by going online 24 hours a day at the Colorado State of Mind discussion board at rmpbs.org. But mainly, watch Colorado State of Mind every Friday night on TV, only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
It's a soft, velvety black with a subtle blaze of red. Its graceful strength will stir your senses. This is Australia's own Black Swan, the perfect symbol for Black Swan Shiraz, an elegant, full-bodied red wine that's bold yet remarkably smooth. It captures the true essence of Australia. Awaken your sense of adventure. Discover Australia's Black Swan Shiraz. Imported by Black Swan USA, Hillsborough, California.
KNRC Community Commitment.
Reserve your tickets now for historic Denver's 33rd Annual Dinner and Award Ceremony Wednesday, October 29th at the Brown Palace Hotel. This event recognizes individuals and companies who are preserving and protecting historic properties. This year's recipients include First United Bank and the Auditorium Bond Issue, and the event will be emceed by KNRC radio host Jim Conder. For more information and to make reservations, visit www.historicdenver.org.
You're listening to the award-winning AM 1150 KNRC. We've been honored by the Colorado Broadcasters Association with 4 awards of excellence and by the Associated Press with 7 awards for excellence in news coverage, including one for best radio newscast in Colorado, plus Westward and Greg Dobbs, Denver's best radio talk show host. KNRC is the youngest station in Colorado to achieve these prestigious honors. The award-winning AM 1150 KNRC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:54 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, noon to 3 on KNRC. We're talking about school vouchers, and a lot of these private schools are salivating at the prospect of voucher students because it's going to be more money for them. I think it's a bad idea, and I'm wondering if you're contemplating it. And if you are, I'd like to hear from you. 303-382-1150. What do you think? See, I think in American life, there's this idea that change is better, even if it could be a lot worse. And there are any number, there's never a shortage of examples of how change for its own sake isn't necessarily more productive. Sometimes it can be a lot worse. And here you have people who have gotten in trouble with the state, but they're happy to start private schools because they see some money in it. And then you see a lot of schools that might really not be prepared for your children. And then you see a lot of religious schools, which I don't want to see tax money's funding. And they will throw out your child if your child is gay. Some of these Christian schools will. And I wonder what you would do if you were faced with the prospect of working with your own child to improve your child's education, working with your child's school, or deciding, hey, I don't want to do any of it. I'm just going to send my kid to some private school, untested, 303-382-1150. I think it's a bad idea. Casper, Wyoming, is finally going to reject an anti-gay monument. Fred Phelps, these people that are just publicity hounds, and they're really anti-gay, and they want to put up a hateful anti-gay monument in Casper, which is where Matthew Shepard, I think, was from. And the city council says, they're rejecting a six-foot-tall granite monument that was supposed to say the following: God condemns gays to hell. And we've had one of these Phelps. These people are whack jobs. They are dangerous. They are nasty. And just like our friend El Porco, our former friend El Porco Junkie over at the Walmart across the way here, who's been bubble bath of OxyContin for the last 10 years or so, you have got the Phelps family figuring out how to make money from hate, and specifically how to make a lot of money and get a lot of attention for themselves by pandering to anybody who's anti-gay. So what they do is they know that no one's ever going to accept their monument. They can even make it more grander and more expensive because they're never going to have to produce it. Nobody wants their stupid monument in their town square talking about how God condemns gays to hell. It's never going to happen in any town that I can think of, except maybe somewhere in Idaho where all those nutty people go. So the Phelps family has found for themselves a niche, and it's the hate niche. And I'm not so sure it's so different from Russia's niche. There was a story in today's Rocky about OxyContin and about how painkiller abuse is rising and that Russia's far from alone in being a junkie. And I know a friend whose mom has been on this stuff for a while. She's had some sort of pain. But when my friend described her mom's pain, it didn't sound like it was that bad. But it sounds like OxyContin really just evens you out and mellows you out and makes whatever psychological pain is in the picture go away. So it isn't only Rush who's apparently been seduced by the beguiling charms of OxyContin, but a lot of other people as well. Nearly 4.4 million Americans were illicit users of narcotic painkillers last year. This is according to a survey that was recently taken, and I don't know how many are using painkillers legally, but illicitly, about 4.5 million people. So I guess it's replaced, the Prozacs, the Valiums, and so on, tranquilizers of all sorts. People are doing OxyContin. I didn't know we were in so much pain as a society. I knew we were whining a lot because everybody and their brother feels like they're a victim, but I didn't know that we were in so much pain. Here we are, the richest country in America, and we're whining, and we're popping OxyContin, and we're running off to voucher land if we're not in rehab. I don't know what to make of all that, but maybe you can help me figure it out, and we'll do more of that in the next hour. One more hour of Enid Live right here on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid on AM 1150 KNRC, noon to 3 on KNRC. You can join the conversation 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 61 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by AT&T Wireless.
Hello, and thank you for calling Loveland Ski Areas. Yes, we are open for the season.
With light snow falling, the Loveland ski area today became the nation's first to open for the ski and snowboard season. Marketing Director Kevin Wright says this opening day, Loveland has about 1,000 vertical feet of skiing and riding, with bases of between 1 and 2 feet. Wright is not the only guy at Loveland with a smile on his face today, as he says a group of snowboarders had been camping out in the parking lot for the past few nights. In Arapahoe County today, County Assessor Ed Bozier announced that more than 34,000 signatures have been validated in the petition effort to recall County Clerk Tracy Baker. Petitioners had gathered more than 42,000 signatures, but about 7,000 of those were invalidated for a variety of reasons. Recall organizer John Brackney says he has mixed feelings as the recall effort gets the approval to move forward.
Every single day that he remains in office, the harm continues. But I've known Tracy, and it's a sad day as well. So sure, it's happy that citizens can participate in their government and get rid of somebody that needs to be getting rid of. that I want to describe it as a celebratory day.
Baker, who has been under fire for mismanaging county funds, creating a hostile workplace, and carrying on an intra-office romance with his top assistant, plans to challenge the petitions and the findings of the assessor. Rape charges will not be filed against a group of University of Colorado football recruits in connection with a December 2001 off-campus party. In a deposition released today, Boulder County DA Mary Keenan said before the party, the football recruits were told that there would be consensual sex. Keenan said, quote, the recruits had third-party consent that had nothing to do with the alleged victim. She said because of that, a criminal conviction would be impossible. The deposition was in response to a lawsuit against CU filed by a 21-year-old woman who was at the party. She claims that she was raped at that party. You might want to think twice before taking a cool drink out of Boulder Creek. The U.S. Geological Survey today released a study claiming the creek's watershed is less than pristine. In it, one can find low levels of prescription drugs, household cleaners, pesticides, and caffeine. The area in question stretches from the continental divide to the plains east of Longmont. Police have released a sketch of two white men in their 20s who are suspected of purposely setting two of Southern California's wildfires in San Bernardino County, which have burned more than a half million acres of land. Chris Parker of the California Department of Forest and Fire Protection says the two men were seen riding in a van.
As far as what leads these people to set arson fires, there's a variety of reasons. It can be for profit. It can be for just the excitement.
Parker says that oftentimes arsonists have no remorse for their actions. He adds there's no link to terrorism in any of the fires that are currently being investigated. The death toll has risen to 16 in Southern California as fast-moving, wind-driven wildfires continue burning from as far north as Simi Valley all the way to Mexico. The flames so far have scorched an estimated 520,000 acres. Two people in Mexico also believed to have died as a result of the fires. Police have released a sketch of the two white men, as we mentioned before. The state's National Guard has been called up to help battle what will likely end up being the costliest wildfires in California history. Saddam Hussein loyalists and foreign fighters are the ones who should be blamed for the recent surge in violence. That's the word today from President Bush. In a White House news conference just one day after suicide bombers claimed close to three dozen lives in the Iraqi capital, Bush rejected suggestions that his declaration on May 1st that major combat was over in Iraq was premature. The president's comments came as yet another American soldier was killed in a rocket-propelled grenade attack in Baghdad. Scott Peterson's preliminary hearing is scheduled to begin tomorrow in Modesto, California. The Modesto Bee reports that Peterson's former mistress, Amber Fry, will be called to the stand to give her account of her relationship with Peterson during the proceedings. Fry and Peterson had an affair toward the end of last year, just before Peterson's wife, Lacey, disappeared. Scott is charged with her murder as well as the murder of their unborn son. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche kick off the night tonight at the Pepsi Center by retiring former goalie Patrick Waugh's number. Following the ceremony, the Avs will take on the Calgary Flames. When quality matters, reach out on the wireless service America trusts, AT&T Wireless. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over a dollar a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by One Bank, and really a pretty quiet drive around the metro area right now. It's really looking pretty good. You do have construction, of course, westbound C-470 right at between Ken Carroll and Wadsworth. Watch for that. You also have a bit of a problem on a westbound I-70 right at West Colfax, I-70 at C-470 as well. Stop by Bank One and get maximum strength checking. Now, maximum strength checking comes with free online bill pay on qualifying accounts, so stop by Bank One today. I'm Darren Coben with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Variable cloud cover for the rest of the afternoon, the high 64. Tonight, partly cloudy, 44. Wednesday, partly cloudy, windy, southwest winds 20 to 30 miles an hour in the afternoon. Should be warmer up to 78, but much colder on Thursday. Mostly cloudy, a few rain or snow showers possible with highs in the middle 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 61 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours from noon to 3 on KNRC. We've been talking about a lot of different things today. We're talking about the fact that Howard Dean's in town right now. Wesley Clark is coming on Friday. They're neck and neck in the polls. Bush is pretty much neck and neck with any generic presidential candidate who's a Democrat. There are only a couple of points, 3 points apart, and with a plus or minus of 3 or 4 percentage points on these polls. Let me tell you something. I think it's a dead heat for Bush, even though he's been the president now for about 3 years. The fact that he isn't doing better in the polls tells us that he's vulnerable, but I'm not going to sit back on my laurels here and think he'll be defeated. You're going to have to work very hard to defeat this incompetent regime. These people who are who have an inflated sense of themselves, but certainly not an inflated success rate. One of the things we talked about yesterday, and I want to reprise it slightly, is that consumer groups are trying to tighten the national financial privacy law. This is the thing that's coming up for discussion in the Senate this week. This is the thing that will hand over your financial privacy to these large financial institutions and give you no chance to protect your own financial privacy. California did that. It was groundbreaking in its legislation, and it took State Senator Jackie Speier several tries before she finally rammed this thing through with a lot of popular support, but no support at all from the financial industry. And California was going to be a template for the rest of the country, and now what the feds are doing here is to create legislation that will make anything that California does along these lines subsequently illegal, and no other state will be able to do what California did either. So it renders all of it permanently illegal so that the feds can supersede and they can do whatever they want and hand over all of your information to these financial services organizations. Never mind that a lot of this without proper safeguards. Some of this information, as you have found to your dismay on credit reporting, your credit reports, you found to your dismay that there has been inaccurate information, and there very well could be with this too. Anyway, in a related but unrelated story, some of you who are so anti-immigration or you're anti-illegal immigration, money sent home by Mexicans is booming to the tune of about $15 billion this year. These are people who are among America's lowest paid workers. They are sending money to Mexico that keeps the Mexican economy going. 1 in 5 is getting money in Mexico from somebody who's working in this country. They send it back, and they are helping to support their families, not only in rural, impoverished places, but also in Mexican cities and big cities. And it helps the Mexican economy to flourish, and that helps us. When you have your next-door neighbor doing better, that can only be good for us, and we get the benefit of these illegals who are here. I'm not advocating illegal immigration. It's just a fact of life, and they're going to keep coming. There's nothing you're going to be able to do to keep them out. We get the benefit of workers who work not for the going wage. They're the people who make produce possible at the rates that we pay. It would be vastly more expensive if we had to spend more money on people in the fields, produce workers, field hands, etc. our clothes would be more expensive. I'm not advocating sweatshops. In Los Angeles, you see people who come to your house to wash your car in your own driveway, and these are usually illegals. A lot of people who are nannies and doing house cleaning and restaurant workers and hotel workers and so on are often illegals, and you saw that raid on Walmart's illegals. So you can rail about it, and you can do it here if you want, 303-382-1150. But the benefit is to the country of Mexico, and it is a flourishing $14.5 billion this year. This is money sent home by Mexican immigrants. And these are countless tiny payments by America's lowest paid workers. Isn't that a remarkable figure? 303-382-1150. Let's head over to the phones and to Anna. Hi, Anna. You're live with Enid.
Oh, hi. Hi, Enid. I'm calling because of something that I heard you say while I was driving in my car listening to KNRC. And you were saying that it was suggesting that conservatives or the religious right are perhaps a little less intelligent than the liberals.
Yes.
And I'm not either one of those. I'm a liberal. But I just took a long trip cross country, and so as you do so, when you get tired of whatever else you're listening to, you listen to the radio, right?
Right.
And when all else fails, you get AM. And there was a man on there who was saying precisely the same thing about liberals. In fact, as far as he was concerned, all liberals were crazy people.
Well, that's,
probably. And if they weren't crazy, they had been indoctrinated in the public schools.
That shows you how dumb he was. Who was it? Do you remember?
You know, I wish I remembered his name.
Well, he's got an IQ colliding with himself in single digits.
I think it made me awfully nervous. I thought, my God, how many people are listening to this and believing this? We kind of need to respect each other, even if we do have vastly differing views.
I know, but we can have fun with each other, though, too, don't you think?
Yeah, we need to have fun.
Yeah, we do.
But I just
girls just want to have fun on most days of the week. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people come up with a different way of looking at it, and so I don't want to descend to their level.
I thank you for the call.
Okay.
303-382-1150. Thor calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I really like your show. I hate your news schedule.
Thank you.
I wish you were at night. I think that the fact that you get facts out there, it at least gives somebody something to talk to. But
can always respond by email. Let Ray at knrcradio.com know, and Alan, A-L-A-N, at knrcradio.com.
Well,
let him know.
I can fight with the ocean, too, but I'll lose both fights, honestly. But I'm an ex-school teacher who was forced to send his kids to public school. And I think we need to talk about the gay issue, because they're school uniforms, the kids can't dress up like Marilyn Manson. I don't think it's appropriate to bring in sexuality, especially from K to eighth grade.
Well, but I mean, what's the point? We had an example yesterday of a kid who wanted to go to a Christian school. His family wasn't particularly religious, and he started shortly after his freshman year got underway.
Well,
and
that's high school now. That's
now, wait a minute. He gets in there, and he's almost ready to graduate, and it comes to somebody's attention that he's gay, and his counselor asks him, or the school chaplain asks him confidentially, "Are you gay?" And he answered honestly he was, and they expelled him.
Well,
he either could withdraw or he could be expelled, and he wasn't going to withdraw, so he was expelled.
Well, I kind of fall into the don't ask, don't tell on that issue. Very sure.
He didn't ask, and he didn't, but
well,
they asked him, and he answered.
Might have advertised it more than you think, because I'm sorry, but a ninth grader, that's when you do start.
No, he's a senior.
Okay, exactly. Perfect. When you're a senior, you start to advertise who you are and what you believe and things like that. And in certain times, it's just not appropriate. And I would think the dress and the style and things like that. My real worry was, I wanted to keep my wife at home when we had our kids. And believe it or not, we were almost run out by public schools. And I want to ask you this, and you got to be real honest. Remember all your great public school teachers? What really happened to them? They were run out by the principals. Weren't they?
Thor, what is the point that you're making? You are all over the place, and I don't know what the point is that you want to make.
Here's my point. If you really want great education, and I do too, and I really believe in public education, but you can't have it right now. You're not allowed to buck the system at all. If you are a great teacher, the public schools will run you out,
In every case, you're a great teacher. The public schools run you out. In every case, you can't have a good education in a good public school. You're completely off. You completely don't know what you're talking about You can't possibly be right. Maybe you got run out of a public school for teaching,
and maybe
there was a reason for it. I really don't know.
I saw more than one. But the second thing was, okay, just safety issues. The incredible amount of bullying and the way they look the other way, and that doesn't happen in public schools. Or that doesn't happen in private schools. I'm sorry.
No bullying in private schools. Absolutely
very,
no bullying. Thor, please, listen to yourself. There is no bullying in private schools. You can't get an education in a public school. What you were saying is patently preposterous. There is not one good school where you can get an education in Denver that's a public school.
Well,
there's not one private school where bullying happens. Please, Thor, really, inform yourself before you call this program. 303-382-1150. How can you have a conversation with somebody who thinks in such large blocks of it's all or it's nothing, that there is no good education that you can have in a public school, and that no bullying takes place in a private school? Please, everybody's been to whatever private institution, even in churches people get bullied, and in religious institutions, where is bullying exempt? They have like the no bullying zone. Find it. Let me know. I want to hear about it. I'm shipping myself off to it. 303. I'm FedExing myself over there. Randy, calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Randy. What do you think Thor teaches?
Pardon me?
What do you think Thor taught? What was his subject? I should have asked him. What?
Shop, clearly.
Shop.
Oh,
Randy, you are so mean.
No, I didn't hear most of his call because I walked in the other room to grab the phone.
Well,
but I was thinking about the voucher question as well. My wife is a school teacher and does a great job in the public schools along with a lot of her colleagues. To Thor. But the thing I was wondering about is how can these, you know, these institutions that they're enjoying their tax-exempt status and then they're taking my tax money, how is it that they're not, there isn't a public oversight of them if they're on the, basically on the public dole? I don't understand how they can be kicking kids out.
Well, first of all, because of I think federal law, you cannot discriminate along those lines, and that's what makes this all problematic. It's a kind of faith-based something or other, kind of like our intelligence system, which looks like it's faith-based. Because you start mixing up church and state like this, you're getting into a lot of gray areas that are horrible.
Well,
you would not normally be allowed to discriminate against somebody on the basis of their sexual orientation, but some of these Christian schools have rules that say if you're gay, you're going to get tossed out. Well, they're not going to get one penny, or they should not get one penny of anybody's tax money.
They should not, but they are, and I'm wondering about the...
Undoubtedly there are going to be lawsuits about it.
Because it's sort of an oxymoron. I mean, they stop being a private institution once they're taking public funds.
Maybe there'll be some way of exempting this, but if there are lawsuits, then that further takes away monies for education because now you got to fight the lawsuit.
Of course, or you have to set up an entire oversight organization.
Another level of bureaucracy.
Right, that keeps an eye on all these other schools that aren't fully public schools.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the nose earlier. I think the vouchers, the whole thing has been a smokescreen by politicians to avoid trying to help the schools and just throw all the interest, we can fix it with vouchers instead of the things that it really takes to fix the schools.
Well, I just got this from somebody, sent it to me. This is on the website, The Official Guide to Being a Good Republican, the talking points. Number one, co-opt God into absolutely everything you say and do.
Yeah.
If people believe that God's on your side, they will more likely support you. And it goes on. All media is liberalized, and it goes on and on and on. But this business is faith-based. This is W, who I think probably believes in his own religion strongly. That's fine. But faith-based, whatever it is he's trying to impose on the rest of us, blurring the line between church and state, appealing to his very hardcore fundamentalist constituency, I don't think is going to be good for the country. And look at what we're getting into. And here we are. We got bigger fish to fry than it's just another way to pit us against each other. We ought to be coming together now because we are in a post 9/11 environment. We're in an environment where terrorism could happen at any time.
Yeah. Speaking of that, since you were mentioning Wesley Clark being in town, I was really liking him as a candidate because for that very reason of you know, everybody talks about bipartisanship and unity, and it seems like him as a candidate, he would get votes from moderate Republicans who are sick of a lot of this baloney, all the way over to people who voted for Ralph Nader last time. And it seems like we'd have a much more diverse group of people who felt personally invested in the president rather than...
Well, we'll see
exactly
what happens. What's gonna, what intrigues me here is that they're running neck and neck in the approval ratings, both Wesley Clark and Howard Dean. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering what it's going to take for one or the other to break ahead and really gallop to the finish line, and then that'll be the number one, and then the other one will be the number two on the ticket. That's my take.
I don't think it'll really take shape till after Iowa, though.
Maybe not, but neither one of them, I think, are going to... Wesley Clark is not going to get himself involved in Iowa, and I don't know if Dean is or not. I think no, but we'll see what happens. Randy, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Tom, calling from Capitol Hill. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Oh, about vouchers, Enid.
Yeah.
I think it's with utmost hypocrisy that you have the Andrews and Owens trying to, quote, improve education on one hand, but their main goal is to dismantle it with vouchers so that they can have taxpayer subsidies to private schools.
Well, I think that's what's going on here, and I think it's dishonest. I wouldn't like to see, I don't want to see it happen. I think fix the system that we've got. It's been a pretty good system. Fix it.
Yeah, and it's... And then Andrews keeps putting forth legislation that supposedly is fixing it, but if his agenda is correct, he would really want to undermine public education with everything he's got. And I think that's
so under the guise of fixing it, what they're doing is gutting it further.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole budget mismanagement, I feel it's not by by accident. I think that's by design, so that they can slash the programs that they want, which includes education, K-12 and higher education. And then you have programs like the prisons, which can't even be touched.
Well, we know that we're in a weak economy in Colorado. We know that there have been economic problems in the country. So I can't believe that they're concocting.
No, but they're definitely taking advantage of it.
Yes.
You know, like,
well, it's like taking
advantage of 9/11, that kind of thing.
Exactly right. I thank you for the call, Tom. One other thing, Bush is deciding whether or not to release some of these classified 9/11 documents. He's showing them to his White House attorney, Alberto Gonzalez. They're so sensitive in terms of intelligence. Why does the White House attorney get to see them? And why doesn't the 9/11 Commission get to see them? Is the question. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live, noon to 3 on KNRC.
Remember those nights in college when you'd talk passionately about the world until dawn? Welcome back, Class of 1150. In-depth talk radio, AM 1150, KNRC.
Ever go to the gym and feel like you're competing in a beauty pageant?
Like, oh my God, that outfit is so last year.
Or that you've landed on Planet Meathead, where the necks you see are thicker than your thighs?
Come on, we only have 3,000 more presses to go.
Tired of hearing the grunting just before the weights crash to the floor? Then come to where fitness isn't a competition or a measure of how thick your neck is. Dumbbells Fitness prides itself in attending to the details of a workout and takes care in creating a fun and relaxed atmosphere that makes even the gym phobic feel comfortable. Dumbbells Fitness is the vegetarian of all gyms. They keep their meat in the freezer. Dumbbells Fitness is located on the second floor at the Tabor Center at 17th and Larimer in downtown Denver. Call now, 303-592-7700. That's 303-592-7700. Or log on to dumbbellsfitness.com. Visit us at Dumbbells for your authentic workout.
Belcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Belcaro was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch Program, which Belcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Belcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Belcaro.com.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Here's your mic high, sir.
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:26 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. We're talking about a lot of things. It's a potpourri of conversation today. We're talking about school vouchers and... There's so much of a gray area. Those of you who are considering it, I would like to hear from you. Those of you who are teachers, do you think it's a good idea? I think it's a lousy idea myself. I think it's just a way to run away from the problem of fixing what is broken in education. And it's a way also to take public monies to support schools that are religious schools. And I don't want to see public monies doing that. We've also been talking about how you support your troops, and everybody's got these signs plastered up, we support our troops. What does that mean? Do you give them a discount? Do you give them something for free? What's the story? Bush is saying that the Baathists and foreigners and terrorists are responsible for the attacks in Iraq. Which we knew, if you've been listening to this show, in the run-up to the war, I had Marianne Weaver on, who has been covering the Middle East for 20 years. She writes for The New Yorker. She's written a book about Pakistan, which is probably the most dangerous country in the world right now, and particularly dangerous to us in terms of terrorism. And she said if we go to war in Iraq, it's just going to function as a recruiting poster for all these terrorists. It's just going to be a magnet. That's exactly what's happened. So we have our genius president here who says that he's blaming the terrorists for all these latest attacks. Well, duh. Who wouldn't have? And Molly Ivins has a wonderful piece in the new Mother Jones about W, and she's, as I said, Bush is weighing his decision on whether or not to release the classified documents, the 9/11 documents. Why wouldn't he release them? Why? The panel wants them. They can subpoena him. Why wouldn't he release them? He says there's some sensitive intelligence information. I'll bet you that's just an excuse. Here is Molly Ivins, who went to high school with Bush. She knew him a little bit. She didn't know him really well, but she knew him a little bit, and... I've just been handed something by Joe. The privacy, the financial privacy bill, or is this a health bill? We're trying to get you, those of you, many of you have asked me the number of the financial privacy bill that's going to be taken up in the Senate this week, and I have a bill number, and I'm not sure it's exactly the right one. So we're looking at it for you. This is the bill that the big banking interests don't want you to be able to control your privacy. They want to have access to all your private financial information, and they want to be able to share it with their affiliated companies, which they have a lot of. And in California, it took an awful lot, but they managed to ram it through where you have control over your financial data, and they can't just willy-nilly access it. So the big lobbyists now are finding a way to end run what California has done to make it illegal for the states to deny them this information. So I'm going to find out what the Senate bill is, and I'll give you that information. Molly Ivins, one of my favorite commentators, went to high school with George W. Bush, although she didn't know him all that well. She says she calls him the uncompassionate conservative. She says it's not that he's mean. It's just that when it comes to seeing how his policies affect people, he doesn't have a clue. She said, in order to understand why George W. Bush doesn't get it, you have to take several stands of common Texas attitude and then add an impressive degree of class-based obliviousness. And what you get is a guy who sees himself as a perfectly nice fellow, but who is genuinely disconnected from the impact that his policies have on people. You know, he'll go around and he'll talk about how you want to have all these great programs that are good for people, AmeriCorps, the Boys and Girls Club, job training, and so on. And then he turns around and he cuts the funding for these programs. It's a kiss of death, she says, if he comes around to praise any kind of a program you're doing, because in 2 seconds he'll cut the budget for it. All right, here is the Financial Institution Privacy Protection Act of 2003. 3, and it amends that previous, that SB, that bill that, okay, so it's Senate Bill 1458-1458. In our research, this is what Joe has brought me, and it is the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, and it is Senate Bill 1458. I think that's the right bill. It is the Financial Institution Privacy Protection Act of 2003. It replaces the opt-out requirements governing such a disclosure with a prohibition against the denial of a financial service or product to any consumer based on the consumer's refusal to grant consent to non-public personal information disclosure, which I don't know quite what that means. I have to look at it. Requires each financial institute to designate a privacy compliance officer and so on, so on, so on. Okay, so it's Senate Bill 1458 is the bill that you want to look at. So those of you who are interested, this is where you could protect your own financial privacy. This bill is not going to let you do it. So you want to call your senators, your representatives, call everybody. Call Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer's offices in Washington or email them because they're the ones who are against this. And they those two have a lot of clout, especially Dianne Feinstein. Okay, here's Molly Ivan's take on George Bush. She says he just doesn't have a clue. He's a nice guy, but he doesn't have a clue. He's been cutting a lot of welfare. And here's the truth about George W. Bush. He himself is the beneficiary of a lot of welfare, a lot of private personal welfare, of a man who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, a man who was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. And he, as she describes him, as composed of intertwining strands of Texas culture, religiosity, machismo combined with huge blinkers of class. And she says about him that, you know, he says that there's a kind of anti-intellectualism about George W. Bush. He's proud that he doesn't read newspapers. I'm not so sure he ever read newspapers. He was amazed to go to Australia where he was recently heckled because there was such a big disconnect between what his staff tells him and how the rest of the world views what we have been doing. He was set up in the oil business by friends of his father, Molly Ivins writes. George W. Bush went broke and was bailed out by friends of his father. He went broke again and was bailed out again by friends of his father. He went broke yet again and was bailed out by some fellow Yaleys. He doesn't, you know, welfare, Medicare, Social Security, food stamps. He thinks they breed dependency, whereas inheriting millions of dollars and having your whole life handed to you on a platter is good for the grit in your immortal soul, she's asking. She says that his lies now fill volumes. He lied us into two hideously unfair tax cuts. He lied us into an unnecessary war with disastrous consequences. He lied us into the Patriot Act, eviscerating our freedoms. He says, you know, when you ask him how he's different from his father, that his father went to Greenwich Country Day, he said, and I went to San Jacinto Junior High. He did for 1 year. Then his family moved to a posh neighborhood in Houston, and he went to the second best prep school in town because he couldn't get into the best one before going off to Andover as a legacy. So that's George W. Bush in the view of Molly Ivins. And it's his kind of attitude, wanting to fuel and fund faith-based initiatives that help us, that bring us to the brink here of vouchers, voucher schools, schools that will accept, private schools that will accept vouchers, and some of these people who are lining up to have their hands out for this voucher money are people who've been in trouble with the law previously. One woman here daycare license was put on probation because of repeated infractions of child care regulations, and she's got her hand out for voucher money for a private school. And you similarly have schools, and I don't know if anybody has adjudged the quality of some of these schools. Some of them would be new. Some of them are not new. What about the schools that throw you out because of your sexual orientation if it happens to be a Christian school? Is that something you want your tax money to go for? And what about fixing the system instead of running away from it? But you have got an administration in Washington that has confused the issues of state and religion. And I think it's a slippery slope, and I think it doesn't really augur well for the country. 303-382-1150. If you're a parent, are you considering vouchers? Why not just make your school a better place? Why not work with your kid and do whatever needs to be done to augment what your kid isn't getting in school? I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC. 6:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 61 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Denver Water. More than 34,000 signatures have been validated in the effort to recall Arapaho County Clerk Tracy Baker. Baker has 15 days to challenge the signatures, and he says he's planning on doing that. County Assessor Ed Bozier expects that any appeals and challenges will move quickly and that a recall election can be held in February. Denver police are looking for 23-year-old Terrell McLam in connection with a shooting last night. Police say McLam argued with 18-year-old Bryant White and then shot him multiple times. White was transported to Denver Health, where he later died from his injuries. Two teens were arrested after they crashed a car into a house near Bayard and Stewart on Sunday. Police say the car that they were in was stolen, and police were after them at the time the car flipped and crashed into the house. California's deadliest outbreak of wildfires in years has now killed at least 18 people, including two in Mexico. More than 500,000 acres have gone up in smoke, and over 1,500 homes have been destroyed as windswept fires rage from the Mexican border to Los Angeles's northern and eastern suburbs. President Bush is pinning the recent surge of violence in Iraq on foreign fighters and Saddam Hussein loyalists. During a White House news conference today, Bush shunned suggestions that his declaration on May 1st that major combat was over was premature. He called Iraq the new central front in the global terror war. Interest rates for now will remain at their 45-year lows. The Federal Open Market Committee said today it would leave the benchmark federal funds rate at 1%. Fed policymakers voiced concerns about inflation. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche host the Calgary Flames tonight at the Pepsi Center. Before the game starts, the Avs will retire number 33 to honor their former goalie, Patrick Waugh. Keeping your shower to under 5 minutes can save up to 1,000 gallons of water a month. Visit denverwater.org for more water-saving tips. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:37.
Mesmerizing voice. Enter the world of faraway lands and forbidden places. Sunday, March 7th, live at Magnus Arena at the Ritchie Center, located on the grounds of the University of Denver campus. Rocky Mountain PBS presents Sarah Brightman. Tickets on sale this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Available at all Ticketmaster locations, including Foley's, Angelo's, CDs, and more. Select Rite Aid's, Albums on the Hill, and Christie Sports. To chart by phone, call 303-830-TIXX or get tickets at cc.com. Sarah Brightman's Harem Tour, produced by CC Entertainment.
Thank you for welcoming me here.
KNRC News Time is 2:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Bank One, and just a really quiet drive out there. Speeds on the high side from downtown into the tech center. I-70 is looking good, as well as 225. You will see some construction C-470 between Wadsworth and Kincarrol, and on Arapahoe right at Parker. Watch for some cones. Stop by Bank One to get maximum strength checking. Now maximum strength checking comes with free online bill pay on qualifying accounts. So stop by Bank One today. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Variable cloud cover for the rest of the afternoon. The high 64. Tonight, partly cloudy, 44. Wednesday, partly cloudy, windy. Southwest winds 20 to 30 miles an hour in the afternoon. Should be warmer up to 78, but much colder on Thursday. Mostly cloudy. A few rain or snow showers possible with highs in the middle 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 61 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Do you know the difference between customizing an opening to fit a door and customizing a door to fit an opening? Call Colorado Door Connection at 303-425-3366. They'll explain.
From structural integrity to financial sense, this is a question you cannot afford to overlook when considering the doors in your home. Since a door is the first impression made to your home or room, and you know the saying, you only get one chance to make a first impression, Colorado Door Connection will help you make the best impression possible through excellent service and quality products. Call now and receive a free handle set valued at $160 with a purchase of $600 or more. Colorado Door Connection. Visit our showroom at 9710 West 50th Avenue, just off I-70 and Kipling, or call 303-425-3366. Don't put your home's doors on the back burner any longer. The holidays and holiday guests are fast approaching, so visit Colorado Door Connection today.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's rally picked up after the Fed, as expected, left interest rates unchanged. The key overnight lending rate remains at 1%, a 45-year low. The Fed also said the labor market is stabilized. Reports showing a rise in consumer confidence and durable goods orders help the markets as well. Now, here are the numbers. The Dow Industrials climbed 140 points to 97.48. The NASDAQ rose 49 points to 1932. The S&P 500 gained 16 points to 1,047. Big board volume was about 1.6 billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by a more than 2-to-1 margin. Home Depot gave the Dow the biggest push, climbing $1.50 a share, following positive comments from two analysts. And one tobacco company had a smoking day. R.J. Reynolds jumped 13% after saying last night it'll buy rival Brown and Williamson. Once again, the Dow up 140 points. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
242 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And you know that Channel 4, KCNC, is our television partner. And they are going to have a CBS 4 Salvation Army thrift store drive. You can bring anything that you want to donate, and I'll give you the list. This is this coming Saturday. It's going to be in parking lot A of the Pepsi Center. You'll be able to meet a lot of the CBS 4 people. You'll be able to meet Larry Green. Stephanie Riggs will be there. CBS 4 anchors Brooke Wagner, Larry Green, Stephanie Riggs, reporter Tony Lopez, Mike Silva. Copter 4 is going to be there. Maybe you can shake its hand. I don't know. But if you want to, this is for the Salvation Army. It's in conjunction with Salvation Army Thrift Store Drive. So bring whatever you would like to donate. And here's what they would love to have. Gently used clothing, furniture, small and large appliances. They will all be accepted at parking lot A at the Pepsi Center. This is this coming Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So for people who, you know, either go through your stuff. Let me tell you why I think this is a great idea, and I wish I could do more of it. I think that when, you know, I've said this before, but when friends tell me, oh, they're cleaning out closets and drawers and cleaning out their places and stuff, it means that they're undergoing some transformation, and either it's going to happen or it already has happened. It's either going to happen, and this is a harbinger of it when you clean out your closets, or it has already happened and cleaning out the closet is the natural result of it. But when you pass along things to other people, stuff that you can no longer use, get rid of it. You'll clear the clutter from your life. Your life can be transformed, and you could transform somebody else's life too. And it opens the door. You can't fill a glass that's completely full. So if your closets are bulging with stuff that you don't really use anymore, it would be wonderful for you to donate it to the Salvation Army, and it opens the door for things that you can use to come in. So go through your closets, go through and think about, you've been thinking, gee, where is that? And see, since I'm new to Denver, or I've only been here a little bit over a year, I'm thinking, gosh, I used to know where all the Goodwill drop boxes were and the Salvation Army ones were and everything else, and I could just run them by, and I don't know where things are. So if you don't know, or this is convenient for you, it's going to be in the parking lot A of the Pepsi Center this coming Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and stop by, donate, and you'll meet CBS 4 anchors Brooke Wagner, Larry Green, Stephanie Riggs, reporters Tony Lopez and Mike Silva. You'll even be able to get a gander at Copter 4. And this is the combined CBS 4 Salvation Army Thrift Store Drive. So do it. You'll be doing a good thing. You'll be helping somebody else. You'll be helping yourself as well. A win-win situation. We're talking about vouchers. We're talking about President Bush. He's come out with the statements that it's the terrorists that are responsible for Iraq. Well, duh. 303-382-1150. The kind of climate in this regime that's resulting in vouchers for schools, blurring the line between church and state, I think it's a terribly slippery slope. Mike, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Mike.
I run a wilderness-based program, a residential treatment center in the southern part of the state for delinquent teenage boys. And we're a CDE-approved facility, basically a school. We work with the kids who, really are not, well, they're not making it, for one reason or another in the public school system. As a matter of fact, they, make things, difficult for the other kids who maybe are functioning at a little bit, socially, or intellectually on a different level.
Tell me what the point is, because we have lots of callers.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, what I'm getting at is I come from a place that values education and spends a lot of money on it, Northern Virginia. Here in Colorado, I see that the atmosphere is quite different. We don't spend a lot of money. Our property taxes are lower than they are in just about any state in the United States. I think we're up there with Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas. And we have some really well-educated urban areas such as Boulder and Denver, but for the most part, the state is not, the culture is not especially supportive of education.
So what's your point then?
Well, my point is that the bills that are coming up, the different amendments that we have an opportunity to vote on, I'd like to encourage people to, I think if we're, I know people are complain or are anti-tax, and I'd like to say to people, as a democracy, as a society, as a community, if we don't support education, what do we support? And I'd like to encourage folks to vote. I don't want to make a yes or no because I'm not clear on how the question
you're voting.
Asked.
You're what you're saying is if we're going to have a real society here, you can't be cheap about releasing funds for education.
That's exactly right. We need to go ahead and let them take the cap off of our property taxes and get some more money into the school system. And I think that we'll see that's...
But it isn't only money. Money is a great help, but it's money and a lot of other things besides money. Mike, I thank you for the call. It isn't just money. Money's good. But you need an attitude. You need a certain... People can do amazing things on a shoestring when they have the right attitude. So I'm in favor of more money. That's good, but that by itself doesn't solve the problem. Ken, calling from Windsor. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Ken.
I've got a comment, first of all, on George Bush, how he has fooled everybody into thinking he's one of the common people. That just blows me away. A child of privilege, private schools, Yale, Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
Yet
legacy. It's his own. It's an upper-class welfare system. He couldn't have gotten in on his own grades. They weren't good enough.
And that just irritates the hell out of me that such a goober can... by virtue of money and a PR group can make...
Yeah, but here's what's really distressing to me. You can put out any story that you want to about how you were this or you were that, but that people believed it is just an amazement to me. I don't see how that... I can't... You know, he can talk about himself as the common man, but the people bought that story. I mean, here's Molly Ivins. She's known him since high school, and she's covered him for years and years, and she's written two books about him, and she said he was set up in the oil business by friends of his father. He went broke and was bailed out by friends of his father. He went broke again and was bailed out again by friends of his father, and he went broke yet again and was bailed out by some fellow Yaleys. So look at the track record. And Cheney, too. These guys have had a track record of no success it all, and here they are running the country, and I think not very competently and certainly not very successfully. And I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. Ed, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi,
I'm
Ed.
A big fan.
Thank you.
I got to go to the lunch for Howard Dean at Oxford Hotel today.
You were there?
I was there.
Oh, tell us. What happened?
Well, what happened was after he came in...
How much did it cost, first of all?
$100.
Okay.
He came in, and he didn't go to the podium right away. He came over and sat down at my table because we had a couple of extra chairs there.
Wow.
And he was eating a piece of focaccia bread and choking.
he could give himself CPR.
Yeah, he could. Well, but what was so neat was he just kind of sat, instead of fiddling with his campaign managers and stuff, he just kind of sat down at our table and he said, "Guys, you mind if I have a seat?" And just started chatting like he was one of the, you know, other people at the table.
That is so smart.
I don't know if it's smart, but it was like he sat down like some of the other people that, you know, came by and said, "Can I sit here? Is the seat taken?" And we'd been bush bashing there, and he came and sat down and just started chatting with us, you know, like we were his neighbors or something.
What was your take on him?
He was great. I mean, the thing that really impressed me was from the time he sat, answered our questions, and just chatted with us, and when he went to the podium, there was no change. I mean, the only thing that got different was his voice was louder. So he doesn't put on a facade. He doesn't try to be presidential.
How many people were there, would you say? Was it full?
It was a small room. It was really set up for a small crowd, so 150. But there was also a group downstairs that met him that paid more money to, you know, get the opportunity to talk to him like we did at our table
for only $100 at the budget at the budget level.
So it was well worth $100. I was really impressed. His message is moderate. It's not out there far left.
No, he's for the death penalty, which I am not, and he's been an NRA person. But let me ask you this. Have you ever before donated money to any significant money to a political campaign?
I'm not rich, so I wouldn't say significant.
But you have donated in the past.
I have. Back in North Carolina, Harvey Gantt was running against Jesse Helms.
So this is the first time in a while then that you have gotten on board?
Yeah, and I sent an email to the Democratic Party saying, unless you change your stance on Iraq and go after Bush on Iraq, I'm not sending you a penny. So they started doing that. But and Dean was the only one that was speaking up on Iraq and telling the truth about it. So,
I was
doubtful. You know, I had my suspicions thinking this guy, you know, he's too aggressive or too abrasive. He was nice. He was nice. He was honest. He was genuine, and it didn't change once he got to the podium.
Are you going to vote for him, or are you going to vote for Wesley Clark if it came to that?
Wesley Clark has just been all over the place, and Dean has, I think, been pretty clear about his stance on things. If John Kerry would change his mind and say, look, I was deceived about Iraq, and maybe I changed my voice, he wouldn't even have to say he'd change his vote, just say I might have. I'd consider him, but he's not doing that.
No, he's not, and I think he's looking too wussy for a guy who is such a decorated hero. Ed, thank you so much for that report.
Sure.
I'm delighted to have it. And I wish we had known in advance. I only saw it yesterday. The dean. We have not heard from the dean campaign.
I'll talk to him. I'll send him an email. Maybe
tell him to let us know.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Ed. I appreciate the report. 303-382-1150. There you have it, an eyewitness report. Howard Dean in the raw. I'm Enid Goldstein, 303-382-1150.
Most people come from one school of thought. Welcome to the beauty of both sides. AM 1150, KNRC.
Oh, Larry, what a wonderful spot for our picnic.
Isn't it? The weather's just right.
Did someone say picnic?
Hey, you're stepping on the goat cheese.
Oops, so sorry. But I heard someone say picnic. And as the anniversary fairy for the Denver Center Theater Company, I must respond to emergency calls for tickets to picnic. So are you going?
Going? We're having the picnic now.
Mmm, yummy sandwiches. But I meant the play picnic.
We're just trying to enjoy.
Oh, wine.
Did you want something?
Yes. I want you to picture a small town in Kansas. A single mom and her two teenage daughters get ready for the big Labor Day picnic, and then a hunky drifter blows into town, and the sexual tension ignites. But if you'd rather just eat goat cheese...
Oh, no, no, we'll go see Picnic.
My work here is done.
Our 25th season is our best yet. Come celebrate at the Denver Center Theater Company with tickets to Picnic, opening October 16th. Call 303-893-4100.
Another lending success story from LendingTree.com.
I'm a coupon clipper. I like to save. So I went to LendingTree.com for my mortgage. I filled out one form and got four offers back, so I'm saving time. Plus, banks compete, and I choose the loan that saves me the most money. It's like having one giant mortgage coupon.
Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. For additional information or state license disclosures, visit our website at LendingTree.com.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Wildlife Experience Museum will host Trick or Treat Off the Street, a safe and fun Halloween celebration on Halloween night from 5:30 to 8 p.m. The party will include scary stories, creepy crafts, and numerous candy stations. The event is free for kids 4 and under, $2 for kids 5 to 12, and $4 for adults 13 plus. The Wildlife Experience is located at Lincoln Avenue and Peoria, 1 mile east of I-25. For information, go to thewildlifeexperience.org.
Every hour. On the hour. If it's going on, it's going on KNRC. Awarded Colorado's best newscast and best general reporting by the Associated Press. In Denver, Colorado, the nation, the world, whatever it takes, whenever news breaks, you'll hear it on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC and our television partner, News 4. Together, we've got Denver covered with reports on the hour, on the half, and when news breaks. It's award-winning coverage you can count on from AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
2:56 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. A couple of stories that I want to bring you up to date on. First of all, it turns out one of the stories that just sort of broke my heart was that four boys in a large family of foster children, none of them weighed more than 50 pounds, and they ranged in age from 9 to 19 years old. I mean, this is just incredible. The people, there were 38 home visits. This is in New Jersey, and nobody caught it. This is the social workers. I don't know how they could have missed this. The family, and they had a picture of the family, was described as church-going and loving and everything else, and yet they starved four of these children, and nobody from the state agency who was charged with looking after these kids ever caught it. These state workers are going to be fired in the neglected boys case. These are four boys ranging in age from 9 to 19. None of them weighed more than 50 pounds. And how they even got there were locks on the refrigerator doors. The kids were eating wallboard. They were starving. And the neighbors saw them foraging for food and called the police. And so that was what finally broke this case open. But state workers, I don't know how they missed this story, but there's the resolution of it. The kids are in the hospital. They're presumably getting good medical care. And the story that I read tells us that the doctors think that they'll be okay. This Senate bill that you want to look into and let your senators, your legislators, even call Dianne Feinstein's office or email her or Barbara Boxer. I know they're both California senators, but they're the ones who are not in favor of the Senate bill. It's 1458. This is going to take away your financial privacy out of your hands and put it into the hands of these large financial services. You should have control over your own financial data. And you ought to be calling your senators, your representatives, anybody that you think can help. It's supposed to be taken up by the Senate this week. So do that. Also, one of the things that I'm always interested to read is how you can keep yourself healthier. And one of the things they've been telling women to do is to take an aspirin every day to thwart strokes, heart attacks, and so on. Well, now there's a new study out that says that long-term aspirin use is tied to pancreatic cancer. So you get a piece of information on Monday, and then you get another piece of information on Tuesday, and it's